This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Student at HSPVA, and this is KPFT Houston.
True, set you free. I wanna be a rock star. Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, hi. Houston. Your mic's on.
Yes, yes.
Where was I? Oh, I was in the middle of that.
Yeah.
While you were gone, I tried to do it for a really long time. Told everyone, I said, you know, with that kind of breath control, can you believe I'm single and no callers? This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston, the World Wide Web, blah, 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 blah.
And you know this is Saturday, July the 1st.
Oh, they didn't flip the calendar.
Or Sunday, July the 2nd, however you want to do it.
We didn't turn.
If you just woke up, it's Sunday, July the 2nd.
If you just woke up, then...
Who the hell are you, by the way?
I don't know. I got a couple of names I've been called, but I don't know if I can say them on air. My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
We want to send out love. Well, first of all, let's find out. How's Bobby doing?
Bobby is home.
Good.
Yes, he's doing fine. He wasn't sure if he was going to be here tonight, so since we are Bobby-less in the lobby, I have to assume that he's not going to make it. Or Big Roy, who is working this evening. 11 to 7. He had, I don't know what the hell he does, but he's doing it.
He stands in a fenced-in area.
And well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. And just looks around to make sure nobody does anything naughty.
Oh.
So it's right at this speed.
I see. Well, that you wouldn't be at the top then.
Okay.
What?
We have a quickie.
We have a quickie.
Yeah, I saw something poking through the window, and it's Steven.
Steven's what?
Hey, hi.
Oh, I'm getting deep.
In there. Yes. Yes, we're setting up our quickie. Oh, well, this is July already. The year's half over.
The heat's already started.
Oh, yeah.
Started. It's been here.
Well, let's see.
We're going from the season from, hot to, oh, my God.
Yes, really. Stuff going on. A few of the things going on. Very few of the things going on. Tonight, tonight, Sunday, July the 2nd, at the Outpost at 5:30 p.m. It's Boobs, Babes, and Broads on Broadway. Presented by Ms. with a period, as she puts it, Michaels, Outpost, 2006, and Duchess of ICOH, Sarah and the Showlanders.
Well, because she's one of the few on the show that will have the period.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Yes, yes. And bring out your best Broadway number or just sing along in the audience as we raise some money and have some fun. This show is open to all community entertainers, and it's a fundraiser for GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, comma, Inc. Yes, 5:30 at the Outpost. Nice time, you know, Sunday afternoon. It's not going to run too late. Get you out of the heat. Cool thing to do. Very cool thing. I'll be there. Then, let's see. Swinging over to not even next Friday. I mean, there's nothing going on next Friday on my calendar. But on Friday, July the 14th, a show by Jessica Van Shelton. I thought she was dead. Is she coming back to the stage? That's what it says here. Not my comment. Doing a show called Talk to the Animals. It's the Cult 45 show to benefit Pet Patrol. That's Friday, July the 14th at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, located at 2400 Brazos Street, 7 to 9 p.m. And hosted by Helen Highwater and Jessica Van Shelton.
I can't read lips.
I see. Now, Queer Bingo. Join us Saturday, July the 15th, not the 17th, Tim, for July's Queer Bingo. And strap on a grass skirt. He must have been thinking of something else. Because the theme is Hawaiian Queer Bingo. Doors open at 5 p.m. and games begin at 6 at Club 1415. Queer Bingo, presented by the Community Center, is the third Saturday of every month. Queer Bingo is presented you already said that. Proceeds support the programs and operations of the Community Center. Something else going on at the Community Center, the Futures Conference Working Group. The next quarterly meeting of the Conference of Houston's LGBTI Future Working Group is set for Saturday, August the 12th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Community Center. Oh, hell, what are we talking about that for already? Damn. But here's something that's even going on even later, but I'm going to be mentioning it probably every week, because it is a one-man play coming to Houston called Tortilla Heaven by Celeste Angela Estrada and performed by Jade Esteban Estrada, the man who was here just a couple of weeks ago, to do Icons 1 and 2, History of the Gay World. Tortilla Heaven. Tortilla Heaven is a comedic yet very real story of first, second, and third generations Mexicans trying to relate to one another. First generations living a humble life and making home feel more like home. Second generations abandoning their roots in order to assimilate to the big city life. And the third generations trying to understand it all without knowing the language of his people. When generations finally meet, speaking the same language seems to be the easy part of a difficult journey of understanding why your family is so different. Whether you love them or hate them, they are going to be there when you need them the most. We'll be talking more about that upcoming. Now, let's see. Monday. Yes, I know it's July the 3rd and July the 4th is a holiday, but GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, is having their monthly general meeting at 7 p.m. at the Community Center. And Wednesday the 5th of July, like every Wednesday night, is ICOH's Jukebox Show held at Mary's. It's got a special theme going on this week. It's something real scary. I don't know. I forget. Then membership meeting for ICOH, 7:30. They don't say. Well, isn't that nice? It was at AFH last month, so I am assuming it's going to be there again this month. And Chris, I hope you have a little bit more than I did, because...
Well, believe the rumors, I got a lot more, but hey.
Okay.
Enough of those. Let's see, I got the two you gave me, and then I'm still...
You're still searching for something else?
Yeah, I was playing around.
You're playing around?
I wasn't doing prep for the show. I figured, hell, I'll be like everyone else and not prep.
I prep.
And this week, you actually remember to bring the papers with you.
Yes.
Wow.
That was not my meow. It's somebody else's. I don't know.
It's more guttural than the usual growl that comes out of your throat.
Easy now.
If you haven't read, I've been a kind of a bitchy person this week, apparently, so I'm following suit.
To say nothing of... I mean, I've read so much about you.
But nothing about me.
Yes, I know. I know.
You know, let's talk about beat around the bush.
That was a long trip.
Anyway.
Yes, there's been a fat thread going on LSI, LSA, whatever.
Theatre New West, the Normal Heart Super Role Brilliant Play. Theatre West is seeking a cast replacement for its production of The Normal Heart. The role is that of Bruce Niles, according to the script, an exceptionally handsome man in his 30s.
Oh, that lets me out. I'm not in my 30s.
Maybe I'll piss off some people and I'll just go apply for that. He's made president of the newly formed Gay Men's Health Crisis due in large part to his looks and smooth personality. The Gay Men's Health Crisis is a real-life group set in the early 80s in New York City to help get out the word to gay men in New York and around the country that they must begin to practice safe sex or face the possibility of death. Rehearsals will begin the first week in July, so hurry up.
No kidding.
Opening is set for August 11th for a 5-weekend run. There is minimal compensation.
Minimal compensation.
The production will be presented at the Baring and James Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
The beautiful new gallery near Taft and West Dallas. For audition appointment, call Joe Watts at 713-522-2204.
Joe Watts always puts on a very good production. He's been directing plays in this town for 30 years now or so. And The Normal Heart is a very excellent play that was written in the early days of the AIDS epidemic. So it's a little bit dated, but not much. It's still really good, a good tearjerker.
It's a Larry Kramer play, and it first opened in April of 85. So the show's old enough to drink now.
Yeah.
It's been a while. The Louis Weekend 2007 group, the Houston Council of Clubs, is taking submissions for its pin and poster contest.
Louis never submits. They're tops.
The pictures kind of show submission occasionally.
Oh, okay.
The deadline will be on the July 19th meeting.
Ooh, that's coming up, honey. You better get going with that pen and ink.
I don't remember where the 19th, where the meeting is for the July. I think it's...
I don't know.
You got an answer for me?
I believe it's a record.
Ripcord.
Oh, there we go.
I think it's the Ripcord.
Okay.
If memory serves me right.
Is that the place where those large guys make hamburgers?
Those are the ones that have bartenders on roller skates.
Oh,
it's like Sonic for adults.
And knee pads, too, I'll bet.
I read that in a City publication that gave them the best leather bar because of the bartenders on roller skates.
You can.
The last time I was there, if you put strapped a pair of roller skates on a bartender, he would have killed himself.
That would be a little intrigue. Let's see.
So we went to the Louis list.
Yeah, it is at the Ripcord.
Okay.
The Ripcord. July 19th. You can get your information in earlier. Go to the louisweekend.com website and shoot an email over to either Lloyd Powell or Daddy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the Louis Weekend and get the requirements. You know, they must have the comedy and tragedy masks, Louis or Let Us Entertain You, mm-hmm. 2007, or 34.
Four.
So 34 on there. The pin should be a simple design, using purple, gold, and green, and all the other stuff with the posters there. It'll be at the Ripcord. The unveiling will be... It hasn't posted it yet. I took notes, somewhat.
Sometime in August.
It's the following week, isn't it?
No.
We get it ready for Ace.
The big unveiling is I think, the week before Ace.
Oh.
Which is the Atlanta... not the Atlanta.
Austin.
San Antonio
Is
version.
San Antonio?
Yes.
Alamo City Entertainers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's the San Antonio version of Louis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I wish you know I just fake it.
Oh, God.
Did you talk about this, Jimmy?
Did I talk about what? No, I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't. And what do you know? And that's on July 14th, too.
The Imperial Court of Houston Space City Empire is presenting the candidate announcement on July 14th at EJ's, starting at 8 o'clock. Reception with light hors d'oeuvre start at 7.
No, that's like horse ovaries. I'm reading. I'm looking at it. It says horse ovaries.
I'm trying very hard not to look at the flyer.
Okay.
You know, this is my profession. I can't read the damn thing. Stephen, you want to come over here and critique this design?
No.
Come and see. We'll be making the campaign to be Apollo Emperor and Gemini Empress of Reign 4-5.
Yes. This is the evening where they announce the candidates that are going to be running and that you get to, as a community, get to vote on.
And the theme is Camping It Up with the Kids. It'll be a fundraiser benefiting Reign 4, Lazarus House, and 15% of proceeds benefiting the Lexi Bowen Community Fund.
Yeah.
PFLAG meeting for July. The PFLAG Hatch Scholarship meeting will be on Sunday.
Sunday.
July 9th. Pushed ahead because of the holiday. From 2 to 4:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. The PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation will present the 2006 award winners at this meeting, honoring outstanding achievement by graduating lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered persons. For more information, go to pflaghouston.org or call 713-46-PFLAG. July 20th. I turned off your mic now. His Highness Imperial Prince XXII, Jim Crawford. The title of the smashing event will be Think Outside the Box. There will...
Did you say Think Outside the Box?
Think.
Oh!
Depending on the quality of the drag, it could be Stink Outside the Box.
Oh, yeah.
There will be a box filled with wigs to perform a number of pre-selected by... Jim Crawford. Sound mm-hmm. familiar? This type of event was so much fun, they're going to try and do it one more time. That's on Saturday, July 22nd at EJ's, starting at 8 p.m. It's open to everyone. On that is through for eresis. We did that one because you handed me the paper for it. And that's done for. I'm done.
Kind of instant drag.
I guess. Just don't add water.
That kind of happened last Wednesday at the last jukebox show over at Mary's. Alan Cole went backstage and came out in Tracy Lord's wig and his T-shirt, which was long, but then again, he's 6 foot plus, so it wasn't all that long on him. That was a really good number.
And by the line of drool coming off your chin, I can guess why.
Oh, he's a fuzzy little thing.
It's time now for the After Hours Quickie.
No, okay, I guess it is. And this week, we have Stephen Bunch.
What's this? We only have two groups that show up for the Quickie.
President of Cult 45s.
Yay.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
How you doing?
Very good. I'm glad that I could be here one of the 5 weeks that you're here during the year. It's not a vacation week, and it's not something else. I know. You know, when you've been someplace for a long time, you get a lot of vacation time. I realize that.
Yes, I do. But I've been taking mine in town here lately.
Just flat on his back.
Strapped to a... attached to a bed, yes.
Speaking of flat on your back, before I forget, it was a lovely half dive during the Pride Parade. It was attempted.
I know where he's going on this. That was so embarrassing.
He stuck the dismount.
Yes,
and almost
pummeled his horse.
Well, you know,
you think we weren't watching. We were not watching.
I was wearing these sneakers, and I thought that it was gonna. You know, I was sitting on top of the roof of, I mean, the extended roof of the KPFD art car, which was like 12 feet in the air or something. And so I stood up because I have this thing that I do every year.
The famous
bow, yes. When I was Grand Marshal, somebody said, okay, when you're Grand Marshal, you have to stop in front of Mary's and take a bow.
I always drop my pants, but that's... you're out.
And,
damn, I was looking the wrong direction then. I mean, I was with his contingency.
And so I've been doing it ever since. You know, wherever I am, I have to stop the vehicle so I can, you know, do the bow. And so I'm sitting up on this roof, and it is a roof. It's sloped, you know. And so I stand up, and one of the sneakers didn't adhere to the metal. And there I went falling down right in front of everybody. Ay, 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 ay. But I got back up and did it, all in my pinkness. Pink feather boa. I did. That was a kind of a red sequin top.
Oh, was that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. It didn't look like the normal. It looked a little bit more
and as an
rouge than pink.
As an added extra attraction.
Well, I guess you could say you kept it in the community and you did a Luganus.
There we go. There we go. I did a Luganus. There we go. There we go. And because I was wearing pink shirt, pink over-dyed jeans, pink socks, pink sneakers. And for those lucky people who were on top of Mary's, I showed them my pink day glow underwear.
He would have tried to go get pink eye, but unfortunately, school was out and couldn't get the kids to give him one.
Anyway.
Well, and our quickie, as normal, I would like to also thank Chris in the other room for riding with the Colt 45s on our float. That was a still not a bong. Those of you keeping score at home.
We did explain that.
We had a vote. Yes. We had a vote, and believe it or not, 90% of the people realized it was a still.
Ah. Yes. Okay.
The smoke blew them, you know, kind of threw them off.
I see.
And also what we need to do is next year, instead of using duct tape to make the three X's on the front, we need to get some light sticks.
Well, that... Amongst other things.
Perhaps, yes.
Yes. I think we already have a plan for next year. We're going to buy a tour bus, or get a tour bus, and sit on the air conditions inside and wave to the people.
Yeah. No kidding. But, you know, being up in the air like that, like I was, it was quite breezy.
It was a very nice night.
Yes, it was.
And, you know, since we were number 25.
And I was number 80. Yes, and there were still people there, even though I was number 80.
Well,
there's like 114 entries or something like that.
114, 117.
Yeah.
For those of you scoring at home, you know, or even if you're alone.
Gosh, you know, you don't even need... you don't need any more than that. You know, people are just over it by 100.
Well, it's not a record because 1 year, I believe, we were number 134 of 136.
Wow. Wow. Damn.
If it weren't for Rainbow the Clown that showed up, we would have been dead last. Fortunately, Rainbow showed up, and
yes,
we were not the last.
He has taken Ray Hill's place. Ray Hill always, you know, he used to wear his orange prison, mm-hmm. prison jumpsuit, okay. and he was the last person, and Rainbow has taken over that. And I'm sure the product committee is
very happy with that.
Happy to let him do that.
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody's going to be last.
Because you never know what kind of outfit Rainbow's going to show up in.
Well, our particular year, well, I don't want to digress too much, but Rainbow actually drove the car and walked the parade. Figure that one out.
Yeah.
Rainbow would drive about 50 feet, walk, run back to the car, drive another 50 feet, walk.
Well, knowing the type of vehicles that Rainbow usually drives, it's usually that's as far as it gets before it overheats.
Speaking of which, the poor KPFD art car, after it left Mary's, it too conked out and had to be pushed back home. But we did, they did manage to. I didn't even know it until we got.
So you just thought it was a very smooth and quiet ride.
Well, I'm way up there. I couldn't see, you know.
So it was a low emissions vehicle for the last part of the.
Very low. Yes. Yes. Except for whatever methane I was doing myself. Mm. But hey. What's going on with the Colts?
Okay, we'll
yes,
do our
that's
quickly.
Why you're here, right?
Well, amongst other things, that and for the bubbly personalities. excuse me. Pardon.
You may call me Dom Perignon.
Oh, thank you.
If, like I said, it's the least. It'd be the nicest thing I've been.
So, if you're Dom, game. This must be the very fine wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, because the wine's usually aged longer.
Hey.
Well, with the Colt 45s, and I'll just move quite right along. There is a benefit, the 7th, at the BRB, put on by Ashley TGRI, but since we are a beneficiary of TGRI this year.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That starts at, I think, 7 at the BRB and ends mm-hmm. at 9, so that's a good thing.
TGRA, huh?
Yes. TGRA, good. Texas Gay Rodeo Association.
Yes.
July 10th is the Colt 45's general membership meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to join the Colt 45's, or even if you'd just like to come by and say, hey, we meet the second Monday of every month at the BRB at 8 o'clock. And, if I can get this, July 30th at the BRB, we take part in the annual denim party.
Oh, yes.
The BRB's denim party.
Yes.
You don't have to wear denim to get in, but
no.
It helps.
But you have to have an invitation.
No. Yes, you do. Do you have your invitation yet?
I do not have my invitation yet.
I'll come back by when they hand them out.
Thank you. Thank you.
And more details about that.
Good.
As it progress.
Good.
As well as the Colts celebrated their 30th anniversary on July or June something. I mean, whoops, did I say that? It's actually June 9th, 10th, 11th.
Yes.
And we had the honor, and you know what? I left it at home. I apologize. Your plaque, because I knew there was something, but I was in a hurry. I had to make a stop someplace else. We have the honor of bestowing an honorary Colt membership to Mr. Jimmy Carper.
Why, thank you.
For everything he's done over the years and his help and his support of the Colt 45s. And we'll bring you your plaque as well as
thank you.
When we finally get them made. The Colt honorary patches, we haven't done those in a long time. That's something the Colts haven't really done in 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
We decided we want to bring that back.
I am honored, and I don't take that lightly.
Well, you do a lot. Do a lot for us and do a lot for a lot of other people that obviously people know because you're back on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And
back on Saturdays is right. Yeah.
And, you know, I see the emails list, the
yes.
email list when something happens with you, but that's about it.
Okay.
And I don't want to take too much of your time. I feel like I'm going to be run out of here.
Yeah, actually, we've got Hatch on tonight.
No, I'm not running out of here, but I know I was running late, but I did want to come by because I missed you, Jimmy. I really did.
Thank
not that
you.
I didn't like Chris. We kind of had fun with Chris last time. You know,
oh, yeah.
Chris trying to fill two different
There's
seats.
There's so many people who have fun with Chris.
We missed you in the donkey booth.
Well, I told you there. You had to get in contact with SeaWorld if you're going to get me in the donkey booth.
Well, he was off to the side over that side. If Falcon said something about a donkey booth, it'd be nice. Remember, maybe
yeah.
I did. I'm just blaming Falcon. Falcon, we miss you. He's in San Antonio this weekend.
Oh.
They have an Imperial Court.
Yes, that's right.
Event
that's
in
right.
San Antonio.
That's right.
But he just mentioned something about a representative from KPFT, and this chair went flying back over to the window, and evil looks went.
Well, I haven't got
I'm sorry,
go.
Chris.
No, go ahead.
That's because the theme of your float this year, actually your theme of the whole year was thank you for being our friend.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was a little corny, cheesy for some people, but, you know, we wouldn't have made it this far as an organization, as well as we wouldn't have had really the kind of year we have, and if it wasn't for a lot of people that were friends and are friends coming out of the woodworks for the 30th.
Well, the Cult 45s is on the top of the short list of organizations that I can go on the air and talk about anything that they're doing and have no qualms about it, because they, how many years now?
30 years.
30, of course.
Yeah. Duh. I wasn't there for the
30,
first one.
Then. 30 years, you've had a spotless reputation of doing good for the community, and you're the court of last resort for a lot of folks, and the monies that you take in go to people who need it. You've got a small but hardworking crew of folks.
We have about 4 plus 5.
So, who do all of the work and get the money to the people who need it.
And the summertime is just about the beginning of the hit for our rent utility assistance.
Yep.
We just are starting to get a lot of that, with especially on the electricity.
You bet.
And we couldn't do that without people from, like, Legacy and Bearing and a lot of the other organizations that...
the big ones and the small ones.
Yeah, because they refer people to us, as well as... And we will turn around. We'll refer people to Lexi Bowen. So we kind of know, or wishful thinking, or other organizations that do a good job too. We kind of have a good working relationship, saying we can't do this, but they can.
Yeah,
they can, or they can. So it's always a good thing.
It's nice to know that our community is still working together.
Yeah, it's the last year of working together. On that level, for me at least, has been very nice.
Yeah.
It's so sad that it took something so dramatic to bring it. Not, it didn't really bring the working part together. I think that's always been there on my part. But for me to be able to see some of the people, to actually meet them, and not just on the phone, but from the switchboard and from some of the churches and from some of the organizations when they all got together for the Rainbow Cross sort of get-together. It's just that sort of thing. It was nice to meet people that say, we do this, we do that, we do that. And there's a lot of niche organizations that, in my opinion, that that help some large organizations. You don't have to have an $8 million a year budget. It helps. But you don't have to make a difference, even if you just want to have a small food pantry or a small food pantry drive for... You know, Bearing or for
Resurrection MCC.
Resurrection MCC. Thank you.
I'd like to see more fundraisers operate like they did maybe 10, 15 years ago, where you just automatically brought a canned good, you know, because it was going to either go to AFH or a food pantry somewhere.
Right.
You know, people used to do that a lot, and I think we've got out of the habit, and it's something maybe we should think about trying to start up again, especially with the Christmas season coming
up. Yes, there's a couple of them that come up, and did we mention Christmas in July?
That's coming up too. Ooh, yeah.
See? I don't even know the date. I forget about it. It's something, and I should know too. So if you're out there, if you hear the sound of my voice,
Christmas in July.
Christmas in July. I should know that, and I'm going to
get
wet.
Would that be on the cult website?
No, it would not. That would be on the PWA website. But I'll bring something by. I'm brainless tonight.
Okay.
I've been drinking.
Yes, Dr. Pepper. I see it.
Kahlua and root beer. That's
Well,
what
Steven,
it tastes like.
Thank you for being here, and thank you so much for the honor.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I really appreciate that.
And I know there's a lot of people that, it's just when you have a small organization, it's a buzzsaw when you have one busy weekend. And
yep.
But we always try to come by.
Yep.
If not to say hi.
Good.
Or ask.
Good. First Saturday of every month. We'll see you here.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, so then I've left that room. So I'm going to let's go to a little music and bring in the Hatch group.
One thing I'd like to say first is that I recently learned of a person I know who has been a long-term listener to After Hours. He likes to tune in every Saturday night, or Friday night before, but every Saturday night to hear his what he calls crazy radio.
Us crazy?
Crazy radio. Ken, if you're out there listening, I want to thank you for listening all of these years and hope that you continue to do so. And thanks for your support of KPFT and After Hours. And he has got the most beautiful partner.
Oh,
his name is Chris. He's really, really cute and nice. Both of these guys are just super nice guys that are out in the community supporting causes. And now to find out that he's also listened to After Hours, that's just, you know, icing on the cake for me with those guys.
That's one of the things you've recently discovered is that, you know, actually meeting some of these listeners.
Yeah.
Who didn't tell you before, but have since your recovery.
Yes, I've been finding out about a lot of people who listen to this show that I didn't know about.
It's so nice to find out that, you know, our listenership is more than insomniac drunk Republicans, those people behind bars, and teenagers at home with headphones.
There you go. There you go. But we appreciate especially the teenagers at home with headphones, because you never know. It's happened before. You can grow up to be one of the co-hosts on this show.
Like,
I wasn't referring to you, actually. I was referring to a couple other people. Because it's rare that you get to listen on headphones and then end up being the producer.
Oh, that's right. That's what my title is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been called so many things lately, I don't know what I am.
Yeah, especially this week. Woo-wee. We'll be talking about that later. Anyway, it is past time for Hatch, but we'll let them make it up. We're not going to cut them off at
1:30. Yeah, because I'm not sure Gigi's going to be here this week. I think she sent us this month. She's at a conference, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I thought I sent it to you, but she said she gave this message back during your infirm days.
Okay.
Yeah. Your not-so-firm days. Unfirm.
Well, I'm getting more firm. I was really firm last night, I'll tell you.
You've been stealing pills from Rush Limbaugh.
Hey. I've never tried one of those. Do they work?
Don't look at me. You need insurance to get that kind of crap. Any insurance or a trip to the border?
No, I don't want to try the ones at the border. No. Anyway, let's play this music and get Hatch in here.
And since, unless things have changed, unless Travis's date finally fizzled and he comes over here to complain about it, it's Women's Night, so I figure we'll go with Sophie B.
Oh, yeah.
And beautiful girl. And next up, Hatch.
Can you still hear me? Sophie B. Hawkins and Beautiful Girl. It's time now for Hatch. Your mics are coming on, so...
Presiding thing.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yeah, your mics are on.
Awesome. Oh, hardcore. Alrighty. Well, this is Hatch. We're here now to talk to you.
You might want to explain what Hatch is.
Hatch is a support group, youth group, fun group for teens from the age of 13 to 21. And we have a lot of fun together.
We should expand that age group.
We should. And... Hatch, you know,
we're
just
thinking of creating a post-Hatch group. What
I think we should.
I mean,
there
are 20-somethings that are too old.
It's like 21 to 24.
Well, I like this
is yeah, because in 25 you get to be both.
So you got 21, and they're like, okay, bye, see ya. And you're in their social group.
Why don't we go around and introduce ourselves?
All right, I'm Beth.
Told you she was a provider.
And,
knew it.
Yeah.
What did you call me?
Don't worry about that.
It doesn't matter what anyone else... I'm Beth, and that's all that really matters.
Okay.
Oh, fail. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 20. I'm about to age out with Hatch. That's why I'm suggesting that we get a...
Post-Hatch.
Another group, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we need someone to organize it. That could be you.
I could do that.
Would you?
Yes.
Would you? Okay.
That's Brendan, I like unicorns.
You want to introduce yourself?
And walking on the beach.
Yeah, I'm Brendan.
Not really, because I'm allergic to sand.
Brendan, how old are you?
That is none of your business. I'm in my 30s. We'll just put it that way.
And he looks fabulous.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm Pamela, or whatever, and I'm about to be 18.
Ooh.
And I'm done.
Yeah,
she
okay,
can vote,
I
guys.
I actually feel really, really young. I'm Claire, and I'm a whopping 17.
She'll be 18 in October.
I'll be 18 in October, exactly. Thank you, Beth. I don't feel quite so young anymore.
I'm 17 for 5 days.
Right? There you go.
I'm not alone.
And I'm Colleen, and I'm 20. And today our topic was... It's actually an extension of a topic that we talked about before. We had one segment on lesbian relationships and another on gay-male relationships and the differences between them. And so, Pamela, why don't you explain what we're going to be talking about
today? Yeah,
Pam. Coolness. Me and a good friend of mine, Mr. Travis, we were talking...
Mr. Travis, exactly.
No, we were talking and decided that... we should probably talk about why it is that the relationships are different between homosexual males and homosexual females, and then also why after the relationship lesbians can still be friends unless you're Colleen.
Because we're hardcore
and
like that.
Why
hey, that was a personal attack.
So
yeah, I am not
much.
Friends with my ex.
Neither am I.
So. Yeah, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I'm friends with all my exes.
I'm friends with
your theory's blown out of the
all
water in the first 30 seconds.
So
me and Travis decided this last night.
Three?
One.
Five.
Wait, what?
I'm just saying numbers.
What are we counting as friendship? As in you still speak to each other? Or
and can go out for coffee and hang out and enjoy each other's company without wanting to
see each other more than once a month?
All
right, no, listen. Okay, what came up last night was Travis's boss is a lesbian and committed a relationship and everything. And they were talking about her personal life, whatever, and she decided that she was going to call up some of her exes, and they're all going on vacation together. Like,
that's kind
of
creepy.
I mean, yeah, like, they all still talk, and they all have separate relationships now, and they're all, like, broken up.
How
and they're
quaint.
Going on vacation together.
That's
like,
nice.
To have fun.
And that would be really uncomfortable.
Slightly uncomfortable.
If I was a new member of the relationship, I would be uncomfortable.
Well, no, what I thought was funny is my ex actually moved, or is in the UK right now, and she and I broke up, and then she got with another person who they've been dating ever since, and I was talking to her tonight, actually, and she suggested that I go visit her in the UK, and I was like, okay, well, yeah, when I just get that extra spare cash for me, then definitely I'll go. So then she was like, oh, well, you know what, I'm gonna hop on a plane within the next year, and I'm gonna come see you. So she's gonna come stay at my apartment and like, a couple months or something. And I was like, you should probably ask your girlfriend about this. She's like, oh, she won't care. I'm like, well, that's good. It's good that y'all trust each other.
You know? And things like
it's good that...
You say that with such weird
well,
something
no.
in your... It's good that you trust each other. Sarcasm.
It's good that they're, you know, have a good enough relationship that they can be that way, and I'm glad for them.
Yeah.
But I also am happy that me and my ex have gotten to the point where we're just like, you know what? You're a good friend. I love talking to you. I can spend time with you. And it's awesome, you know? It's just not like anything bad or horrifying to have to talk or see her, you know? Like, it's kind of interesting. Whereas some of my gay guy friends, there's like...
tension.
Hide me.
It's a little tension. Before we get into the stereotyping, why don't we go back to the beginning? And do you believe that it's possible to truly be friends with an ex?
I think there is.
No.
It's a no from, okay, that's a no from Claire.
I honestly think there is. Of course, everyone's going to need to go through the healing process and get over, you know, relationship, whether, you know, you've been broken up with or you did the breaking up and, you know, moving on and, you know, late nights and crying on your friend's shoulders and all that jazz. But once all that has passed and fizzled out and you've moved on a bit, I think it's completely possible to become friends because you were friends at one point in time anyway. So there's no reason that there should be any trouble going back to that, unless it was just this horrible relationship, you know, that there was,
maybe,
you know,
maybe it's
all sorts
even
of
the
complications.
Because I think it's like the situation at the very end of the relationship. I think that in almost all instances, if it's a mutual breakup, it's a lot easier to be friends. Whereas I think if one person breaks up with the other person, then it kind of depends how the person who...
was broken up.
Yes, is broken up with, how they deal with it, whether they deal with it in a mature manner or whether there's lots of screaming and crying and, like, I'm never going to speak to you again.
Well, I don't even know if it's a matter of maturity. I think it's just, you know, the emotional commitment on each person's part. Anyways, I think from my personal experience, I think I'm friends with one of my exes, and we don't even talk that much, but I mean, when we talk, it's great. And you know, she lives in California right now, and we still chat all the time. But my other three or four exes, I don't speak with much anymore, one of whom I just finished going to school with, and that was just an up and down basis, you know, on and off. That was all on her accord. I've always been open to being friends with my exes, but typically I'm the one who's been broken up with, and then they just sort of walk out of my life, and it ends there.
What about the girl that you're still friends with? Was that a mutual breakup, or was it one-sided?
Yes.
Okay. So
well, it was her idea, and since it was becoming a long-distance relationship anyway, and I was just glad that she was honest with me, which is probably the only breakup I've had that where it was an honest deal, then I was more okay with it. I mean, it took me time to get over it because I was upset and hurt, but, you know, we went on from there. But other than that, the other few bad breakups I've had, you know, things just completely crashed and burned, and I don't speak to these girls anymore.
Do you think, I think the honesty is probably just as important in just regular friendships as they are in relationships. And I think in order to be friends, you have to be honest with each other at the end of the relationship.
Yeah, that's one issue that I'm having with my ex, is there's a lot of hang-ups and things just left unsaid and things just very... There was no closure with it, so it took me a while to get over it. And I'm still willing to be friends with her, but getting to the point with her, like, it doesn't seem that she wants to be friends anymore, and it sets me because I need my video games, but...
Awesome.
If she would just let me befriend her for long enough to get my games.
Oh, I might not want to say that on air.
She's probably not listening.
Of course not. She doesn't listen.
But, okay, was that a mutual breakup, Beth, or was that one-sided?
Or did it just stop?
It just stopped. It was like one day we're friends, one day we're dating, one day she's mad at me, one day she's not speaking to me. All on her terms.
Very one-sided.
Yeah, very one-sided there, and it took me a while to get over it, but
a while?
Let me be a while. It did take a while, a couple months. I'm easily
hurt.
But you
took down that picture yesterday? That's
no,
good.
I didn't take it down yesterday. I threw it away yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I took it down in the beginning part of June. So... It's been down for, yes, applause out there in Radio Land. Applause.
I was thinking about the picture of her dog.
Oh, the dog is really cute, and I really like it. It creates a nice ambience in my room.
Or is it finally off the fridge?
Oh, I've taken it off the fridge, and I've turned it over. Okay. So it's...
But it's not gone yet.
But it was on the refrigerator when you moved it, and I just haven't had a chance to throw it away yet. Okay. But, It's taken me a while to get to the point where I want to be friends with her. I always did, but I thought it would be a little too painful just being in the same room with her. But now I'm to the point where I'm like, I could be in the same room with her and, you know, go on about my, you know, day, and then when she leaves, I won't feel all deflated anymore.
Okay. I have a question for you. With the exception of this ex, you said that you were friends with your other exes. What do you think is the difference between that relationship and the other relationships?
The thing is that I didn't love them.
Because they were men.
Well, I still love them, but it was in a friend type of way, all the way to... from beginning to end. And it took them a long time to become friends with me, although I still have a couple of guy exes who are like, marry me, why don't you love me anymore? And I was like, ah, and I kind of tiptoe away. But don't look at me like that. There's something about the best. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Laura Page, I guess.
And so it's taken a while to, I guess you can say, accept the fact that there's no possible way that we're ever going to get back together. There's no, you know, little, you know, something nothing. They can hold on to. There's nothing there. And it's taken a couple of them a while to finally realize that. And we're okay friends now. Every now and then I'll see that, like, little pitiful look in their eyes, and I'll just be like, here's a cookie or something. But there's always going to be something there that you can't really get rid of, because they were, you know, a part of you intimately that's never going to change. So there's always going to be a little bit of that there. So that's just something you're just going to have to work with, you know, when trying to rebuild a friendship with an ex.
No, I agree completely. In any relationship,
this looks like robot feet.
I'm sorry. The headphones, yes, Beth. Anyways, but no, I think in any relationship, there's always, if it's, you know, an especially committed relationship or an actual relationship, not just, you know, sex friends, or whatever you want to call them.
Sex friends. So delightful.
That was the nice, clean term.
Yeah.
That we can say on the radio.
Exactly.
Right.
But I think in any sort of deeply committed emotional relationship, there's a part of you that will always be attached to that person. And if they hurt you in any particularly horrible way, or, you know, if it was a very deep, committed relationship, it makes it much more difficult, especially if you were the person that was broken up with, to be friends again, because every time you're in the same room as them, it can hurt, because, you know, a lot of times things are left unsaid, and things are, you know, there are so many loose ends, and, you know, you want to bring it up, and at the same time you don't, because, you know, that bringing it up will only, you know, they're just going to walk away and act like you're an idiot, and, you know, it's just going to leave you in a whole lot more pain.
I do have to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. And now we return you to Hatch Hole Radio in progress.
One of the things that you had mentioned earlier, Colleen, is that having honesty in any relationship, including friendships. And I think that's important, but what I think is also important is to be friends and be in relationships with people who not only are honest, but are also open to listening and you being honest with them just as much as they're honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of relationships, and even friendships, that when they end, a lot of things do go unsaid, but if there was ever this feeling that you couldn't say something, that maybe that makes it so much worse. Because I have friends that, you know, I felt like we were such good friends, and then one day things just changed, and mm-hmm. You feel like you can't say stuff to them. Yeah. And, like, I don't know if you guys have ever had that kind of
no,
friendship.
I agree completely, yeah.
But it's just like, it just dead stops. And yeah. you know, like you worry about them and you hope that they're okay and you feel like there's some things you should say to them, but you think it might be awkward to say it.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
something like that. And yeah. in a relationship, I think it's the same way, because I've also been in a relationship like that where I've been in this relationship and there's things, you know, I always kind of wanted to say it, but every time you would say something, they'd get upset. You feel like you couldn't be honest with them. And I think that kind of also has to do with it, is you can be as honest as you want, but you have to make sure the other person's willing to listen to it and is honest back, you know.
It's yeah. kind of hard, though, because in situations like that, you would think that your prior friendship would transcend anything with the relationship that's gone on. And when something happens like a breakup, you would think that your friendship was better than, you know, than the relationship, and that you should go back to being friends and everything would be all hunky-dory, peachy keen, and it's not. And that's kind of how I am. I'm just like, I thought our friendship was better than that. I don't think that just because we're no longer dating and we're no longer seeing each other in an intimate manner that we shouldn't continue to our friendship. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of upsetting when things like that happen.
Does it matter how the breakup happened? Let's say one of them cheated. Mm-hmm. One person.
I think it matters.
Completely.
How does that change the dynamic of just drifting apart?
I think in a lot of ways, well, first of all, it sometimes determines who gets to keep the mutual friends, and I hate wording it like that, but we all know that it happens. And it also, it sort of has this feeling of, well, it's your fault that the relationship ended. And I don't really think that anyone should try to, like, lay blame like that, but obviously, in that sort of case, I think that it would make a difference. Because then, the person who is cheated on is the one who's making the decisions, and they have to decide, well, is this a friendship that I want to keep if I feel that I can't trust you?
Well, not, okay, mentioning no names and hopefully not getting too upset, how have any of you guys ever been, like, cheated on where it ended a relationship? But just don't mention names, if that has ever happened to
no,
you.
No, in an indirect manner, but it was very, very obscure and odd.
Do you want to explain the obscure?
It was very obscure and odd, and I don't even think it was cheating, to be honest, because I was tricked.
Okay.
I was tricked.
Was this, like, a female or male relationship?
Both.
Okay.
Right. I was tricked.
Okay.
I was dating this guy in high school, and we were, he moved away. He went into the military, and so we were having a long-distance relationship while he was, like, in boot camp and overseas and all sorts of good stuff like that. And so it was a lot of email conversations and IMs and things. And apparently half the time I was talking to his sister, and she was pretending to be him.
Oh.
And so that's, I was like, your attitude's changed a lot, you know, being in the military and things like that. So I was in...
You become so much more sensitive.
Yes, so much more sensitive and caring, and I don't understand.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, because he was a very cold guy, and
going
very
into
distant.
The military wouldn't...
Yeah, and the military would remedy that, of course. And so I was holding on a long-distance relationship with his sister.
Oh,
and I did not know. I honestly thought it was the guy. And he intercepted some of the emails, and that kind of ended our relationship. And I was like, I didn't know. I thought it was you.
So you were the one cheating, technically.
Technically, I was the one cheating with his sister that was pretending to be him.
That's not okay. No. That's
so
not okay.
And so it ended our relationship. I was really, quote unquote, heartbroken.
right.
I was heartbroken, and it was very upsetting for a while, because I don't like being lied to, and she lied to me, and he wouldn't even hear my side of the story. And like I said, I thought our friendship was better than that, and you know, that we could be friends again. And as it stands now, I try to be friends with him and his sister. It's easier to be friends with his sister now, because she's just nice and understanding or something. But he's and he's just very, you can't say bitter, but very, like, he has wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that we're going to get back together or patch things up. And I was like, that was in 02. And not going to happen, sweetie.
So, Brendan, has anything that ever happened to you? I mean, you're...
a more mature voice.
Shocked face.
Not that I'm thinking it would, because no one would ever do that to you.
Oh,
but
geez, that's so
if it ever did.
Cheated on me. I don't think anyone's ever cheated on me before in a relationship. The last significant relationship I was in was for 8 years, and we're still best friends. In fact, I saw him today. I talked to him or see him weekly. Really special guy.
So you're really good friends with him, yeah?
Yeah, real good friends.
Yeah, okay.
Almost to the point of being best friends. And then another guy I kind of dated kind of off and on for a little while, kind of on again, off again, on again, off again. And we realized, hey, this isn't going to work. The two of us together are not dating material. So we've been very good friends, and we're very close friends.
Okay. That's always good.
So I don't think anyone's ever cheated on me that I know of when I've dated them. And then when my eight-year relationship, things just kind of ended.
You grew apart.
Just
kind of diffused.
Yeah, it was a slow and quiet thing that happened. And then I actually ended that relationship, which made me feel. I still carry a little bit of guilt about that because I feel like I was the big heel, but I think. And we worked at staying friends and being friends. And sometimes I think I didn't give him enough space and time when we first broke up. But that friendship and that relationship was really important to me. And I was like, no, we're going to be good. And we have been. But sometimes I wonder if I didn't give him the space he needed to heal and initially.
Do you think that that's a common mistake that people make, especially young people,
you know, when they break up? I'm not sure. I guess it depends on a lot of factors. You know, what caused you to break up, what were the circumstances. You know, did you cheat with a, you know...
With an internet friend. with their sister.
You know, all these things kind of play into
tangled
it.
Web we weave.
You know, right. The other thing that makes it difficult is when you've been together for so long and you have the same friends and the same social circles. That can make things difficult.
Very much so. Very much so.
So has anything like that ever happened to you two?
Well, to me,
Claire had something to say.
Yeah. My first girlfriend, actually, whom I met my freshman year of high school, probably not the best foot to start out on when, you know, coming into, you know, being a lesbian, but, you know, c'est la vie. But basically, after a while, she became unsure of herself, and she would slowly grow distant, you know, over like a week period, and I'd find out, you know, the following Monday that she'd found some guy. And after about 2 weeks, he would break her heart, and she'd come crawling back, and me being a freshman and head over heels in love, I took her back, and she did that consistently for about 10 months, and I just didn't get the picture for about 10 months. But oftentimes I would find out from friends or accidentally. She wouldn't tell me. And basically, we tried for 3 years to try and keep a friendship, because the friendship that we had before we started dating was probably one of the best I've ever had. And both of us really wanted to try and keep that, but she just recently graduated in June, and I went to go give her a hug and tell her congratulations on right after the ceremony, and she didn't speak to me, didn't look at me, so don't know what that happened, where that went. But, you know, 3 years of effort, nothing came of it, and I'm not going to go around crying about it. You know, I think that we just lost the trust. And, you know, no matter how hard we tried, we were just never going to get back to what we had. And I think that we both had those lofty goals of just trying to make everything perfect again, and it just didn't work. So I think cheating or, you know, two-timing, anything like that, even if the other person knows about it, it destroys a relationship unless you've agreed to, you know, have an open relationship like that.
And ooh, even then,
I can't do open.
Lesbians do this all the time, and it's really bad. They're like, let's have an open relationship. You're allowed to sleep with other people, but not really. And it's like a test to see, will you really stay with me? And I really think that we do that.
I don't even think I could entertain the thought of dating someone in an open relationship. Mm-hmm. Because the person you have an interest in is already attached to person A. So no matter what you do, they're always going to be attached to person A. So you might end up falling in love with them and want to be with them forever and ever and ever. But they're just like, I'm in an open relationship and in love with person A. Bye, person C. And you're like, oh, my God. I don't think I could ever do that. So when someone reveals to me that they're in an open relationship, I'm just like, oh, look, it's my non-existent cell phone ringing. Oh, but I do have a cell phone now, so it makes me happy.
All right, I've noticed that I think in at least gay male relationships, it seems like when they say that they have an open relationship, they usually mean that. But then I think that there's still a lot of jealousy that factors in. And so if people don't talk about it before and they don't really mean that, then they need to say so. Whereas lesbians, I think that we use it as some sort of mind game in some cases, because one person will agree to it when the other person's not really okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes this horrible
thing. Lesbians are champions of mind games. It's because we're women.
Oh, it's like two women dating, so they're just like, rare.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
Well, I don't know. I've been in an open relationship, and, you know, I was in a relationship with a person for 2 years, actually. Our 2 year anniversary was June 27th.
Congrats.
And, you know, where that relationship is right now, I'm not positive. However, about a year ago, we decided that we were going to have an open relationship. And so we did. And I decided I was going to figure things out with one of my exes. And, you know, the person that I just had my anniversary with, she didn't really mind it, but at the same time, it was kind of like, yeah, I don't mind it really at all, because I think you need to figure this out, because mm-hmm. if we ever do decide, you know, like, it's just us, then I don't want you to be mad at me for not letting you have that space for that time.
Right.
But at the same time, she was just like, you know, wish it was enough. And I'm like, yeah, it's not even that. It's that, you know, first of all, she's older than me, a lot older. And secondly, she was far away from me and still is. You know, and the thing about that is long-distance relationships are sometimes good and sometimes bad. And age differences, you know, age doesn't matter really that much to me until it's, like, such a hindrance that nothing to talk about, you know? And if you can make it work, then that's one thing. But if you can't, that's another.
Right.
And with me and this person, like, we can make things work, and that's great. It's just that I need interaction, you know, like, let's talk, or let's hold hands, or, you know, let's have fun together.
Oh, my.
But I don't mean, like, fine, you know, always, like, I want you on my side at all times. You can't go anywhere. You have to ask permission to do things. I yell at you. I dictate it. You know, I don't like that. But, you know, when I had my open relationship, I got back together, you know, kind of like on the side with my ex, and it was a horrible experience for me. And the girl who I was in, who my ex, Brittany, who I was in the relationship with on the side, she decided that it was a really bad idea, because she actually did become more in love with me when we got back together.
Feelings.
And so I was just like, that's not a good thing.
Okay. Well, do you think open relationships affect trust, or
what?
Do you think it makes it more difficult to be friends with somebody if you had an open relationship?
Can I just interject? What is the point of an open relationship? I personally see zero point in it.
Right.
If it's a long-distance relationship, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's not, I think it's totally retarded. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's just me.
What purpose is it supposed to serve?
I think Pamela kind of explained it really well. The idea of giving the other person the time and space
to deal with their own personal feelings, like if they're having some issues like being unsure about a specific person or needing to deal with, you know, one issue or another. But I think that Pamela's right, you know.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, different couples have different reasons
exactly.
for having different relationships. Other people do it strictly for sex.
Yeah.
And
you know, sometimes it's the two may drift apart, but they have this, they have a house together. They own everything together. They've got a bank account. They've been together for many, many years. And they may have lost a sexual charge in their relationship, so they date other people, but mm-hmm. they still have their unit.
Right.
Well, and, a lot of times, like, in a young relationship, like, say, for kicks and giggles, that you and I were dating, that... You know,
Beth and Pamela.
She's like Beth and Pamela.
How quaint.
That made me laugh.
Beth and I decided we were going to date. That, you know, I'm not sure I'm in love with you, but I might want to date you. And I'm not sure I want to be in a relationship. Then I can say, you know what, we can spend time together and have fun and let's, you know, do whatever. But I want to not be solely attached to you, and I mm-hmm. want to be able to do whatever I want when I want,
well,
you know?
That's different.
You know, that's yeah. like that's dating. What lesbians can date in an open
that's
relationship
in
when
general.
They're young. Like, when they're young, lesbians are like, oh, that's fine, live in 10 minutes. And then, you know.
Oh, it's like, true.
But to me, like, your description of an open relationship is dating. The part where you're,
yeah.
you're not solely
and
attached to this person. Yeah, you're like, you're dating this person, but you're also dating this person and hanging with your friends. And, you know, exploring the option of person X or, you know, this or that or whatever. And if you just so happen that, you know, the person that you were dating originally, you enjoy their company more so than, you know, person XYZ or whatever, then you would go back to them and be like, hey, I think we need to talk about this us thing. And they'd be like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. You know, something like that.
I think
like,
more people should date.
Yeah, people don't date. They're just like, I think you're pretty too. Let's get married.
No, it's true.
It's serious. In, like I had one date with someone, and they're like, "You should move in with me," and I was like.
I think you have to explain that facial expression.
There's no description of it. I'll have to, like, set up a webcam and do it repeatedly. Because it was so strange. Because we went on the date, and I was like, yay. And then the second date, just like the joke, on the second date, we're just sitting there talking or whatever. And she's all like, yeah, you should, you know, move in with me. And I was like,
It seems...
It was almost one of those things where you could be joking, but you could be serious. And I was kind of like, oh, look, a cat.
Okay. Have you ever, like, had friends that got into a relationship and by, like, the second or third day they're dating, or even within the first week, they're like...
It better not be directed to me.
It is.
Okay.
But it is.
They're like...
No, I've had other friends.
But they're like... I love you, like, all the time.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you know what?
I've had other friends that are like that.
Yeah.
And they get so attached so quickly that... It's almost
like it's
scary. It's almost scary. Like, whoa.
You know,
or feeling attacked.
It's not
aimed at you. It's just in general. I've had other friends like in high school, the guy that I just got out of a relationship with before long story. And he started dating this girl, and it seemed like 3 or 4 days later, he's like, I'm in love with her, and she's great, and she's the bee's knees. And I was just like, think about what you're doing. And I was just like...
In my relationship, the one that would have been 2 years,
Robert
got really serious real quick. And that's another one of the reasons that we decided to have an open relationship is because, like, there wasn't that time and space, you know, mm-hmm. that I think I needed. And... So, like I said, I'm not talking about you guys and not doing anything like that. I'm saying, I've done that. And so I know that it's a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
And I know,
However, it is worse when you abandon your friends completely.
Okay, that was a personal text.
You know,
the personal text out of it. I have to live with these people.
Having a really quick relationships are one thing. And, you know, like, I've been there, and I know so many people who have. It just seems like all the lesbians do it. I'm just like,
yeah.
Well, and not even that, but more so even, like, the young lesbians, like 30 and under, you know,
yeah.
Or even 35 and under, but...
I can feel myself doing that sometimes. I get really emotionally attached.
Please.
And it's really, it's probably not love, but it's that little happy puppy love that it hits you all at once, like, you know, like a ton of bricks, and you're like, oh, I love you. And you're just like, look at me, I put on mascara so I can blink at you more. It's like, It hits you really hard, and you think you're in love, and you want to be with this person all the time, so you are, and then a couple, you know, weeks or months later, it's like,
I'm tired of you.
Yeah. It's like,
why are you here?
I don't know if this is something that I really want, but you still have a lot of feelings for them, but, you know, the L word's already been thrown on the table, and you're like, can't take that back, you know, and you're like,
or it's like, I don't know how to say this.
I don't know how to say that I love you in a friend way, and I still have a lot of feelings for you, and so that's maybe how a lot of things get tangled, and a lot of hearts get broken and bruised, and people just kind of, they leap before they look. And
like,
just,
I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore.
In love with you, you know? And so that's why I really do. I was like, people don't seem like they want to date anymore. It's like, let's go to the movies. And the next time you see them, they're like, I'm engaged. And they're like, you met that person. it seems really odd. And so whenever I see my friends actually going out on dates, I was like, oh, it makes me happy.
I saw my ex earlier. And her and this girl have been dating for like
conversational segue.
Like, 2.5 years. And, like, they're really close, and I was asking her, are you guys still gonna, or are you still thinking about marriage? And she's like, I don't know. Like, we're really close. I love her to death. There's nothing wrong with our relationship, but just that's really serious. And one of the things she and I always talked about doing was having a pond of fish. Because that's one of the things she wanted, was having a garden and a pond with fish in it in their backyard. And so I asked her today, I was like, so did you ever get that pond of fish? And she was like, fish are a big commitment.
What's the commitment phobes?
No,
this it kills me inside.
She loves this, you know, like, she's really serious with this girl. But she's like, that was something that was special between you and me, first of all. And secondly, I was like, no, I told Amber she had to buy you fish. Like, I told her this. And she's like, well, you know, we're still waiting until we buy our house. And if we go that direction, you know? She's like, I think we will, but I don't want to do it too quickly. And I'm like, well, that's good. I'm
proud
of you.
It's good to take time.
And so then we talked about what we were going to talk about tonight. And so I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And
well, to give a little bit of background information as to why Colleen and I are sitting here feeling... Well, we're at one point feeling attacked. Colleen and I,
We're
the stereotypical lesbian couple. We actually met a year and a half ago or so. But actually, when we finally saw each other again after a year, we were dating within, a week? And then committed within the next week. And
it's Mr.
It's
Trump.
True.
Make it sound so bad.
No, but it's true. It's true. And
your hair.
It's... You know, it's actually, we've been one of the lucky couples. We've worked things out. We've had our rough times, our really rough times, and we've had our good times. And right now things are really, really good. We've been together, almost going on 8 months.
7 months.
Hello, Travis.
Mr. Travis is here.
Mr. Travis just walked in the door.
I really like your hair. You look snazzy.
You're
but long story
you're
short,
beginning.
Colleen and I kind of abandoned everybody in the beginning, and now we're slowly but surely crawling out of the crevices with our tails between our legs, begging to be forgiven because we feel bad.
I haven't been begged yet.
Please forgive us.
I don't know where this is coming from. Anyway, so, but do you guys feel like... Beth, what are you doing?
Does it matter? No one can see me.
Do we feel like it is more of an issue between lesbian couples and gay couples, or is it just a maturity thing?
I think it's a maturity thing.
I think it's a maturity thing, and I think that at a young age, in most cases, young women tend to be a little more mature than young men at, you know, in the adolescent years, and so it sort of
nodding, so apparently yeah, it's true.
And so it sort of, you know, balances out that yes, it sort of it, you know, it translates into, since young gay men are a little more immature than young lesbian women, you know, there are more young gay male relationships that are more focused on the physical and the short term rather than versus, you know, young lesbian couples. Do you agree, Travis?
Oh,
Mr. Travis.
I don't know. I just got done swooning 30 minutes ago, so.
That's why you were beaming. You're just like, look at me glow.
He's grinning.
Yeah.
Hey, must have been good. He didn't show up here till 2:30.
Do what?
He must have had a good time. He didn't show up here till 2:30.
Oh, fail.
You know, he didn't get out till 1:30. So.
Anyway, enough about that.
We'll do that for the next segment.
Yeah. Anyways,
I was listening on the way here though.
That's hardcore. Good.
We have a fan. So what's your opinion, Travis?
Yeah, what is your opinion on this? Are you friends with most of your exes or no?
I really only have like three actual ex-boyfriends.
Okay.
And one of them I'm friends with. Like, today's his birthday and I called him to say happy birthday.
Okay.
Then the other two, like, have formed a little club.
The weed,
yeah, and it's like really weird. And they used to hate each other, but now they're like best friends.
They've joined
friends
together in the hating of you.
Is this the guys who dated before they each dated you?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, like, it's just so funny that they hated each other until they had this like uniting. Yeah, I'm a uniter, not a divider.
That's great.
I heard what y'all were saying about dating,
mm-hmm.
and I dated a guy a while back, and we went on, like, two or three dates, and after, like, the second date, everyone was calling him my boyfriend. Not me, everyone else, and every time someone said that, I was like, no. I've been on two dates with this fool, he's not my boyfriend. Like, once every couple weeks doesn't qualify someone as a boyfriend. At least not in my opinion.
I agree.
But back to the topic.
Wasn't that the topic?
Yeah, yeah, kind of was.
I thought it was.
No, sure.
We have too many topics, I think.
It's just whether or not you believe that you can truly be friends with an ex and, like, what circumstances affect
that. Well, it depends on why it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
If like, I caught someone cheating on me, it would be kind of extreme.
Right. In your case, you said that you were friends with an ex, so, like, what was the deal there? Was it a mutual breakup, or...
He kind of flaked out on me, and, like... took off one weekend without telling me, which isn't a big deal. Like, I'm not a control freak or anything. But, like... It's kind of weird to have your boyfriend just, like, take off one weekend with his ex-boyfriend.
That's obscure.
And they're friends who don't like you.
Sketchy.
And I was just like, wow, that kind of sucks. And then, like, I just kept hearing things about what he was doing while he was away. And I'm like, well, damn, what's going on here? And so it was kind of a mutual thing. But we're friends now.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Did you ever get the full story? The actual...
What no, happened? I really
it
didn't.
It just doesn't matter. You just let it go.
Didn't matter.
That's good.
But see, in that case, I think it... Even though you say it's mutual, it sounds like it was almost one-sided, but I think that you're still friends because you were mature about it and you were able to let it go.
He actually, like, before I got the chance to dump him, aiming for it or anything, like, he called me, he was like, I don't think we should date anymore, and I was like, you took the words right out of my mouth. So, yeah, it was pretty mutual.
I like it when that happens.
Yeah, then I didn't feel like the bad person to dump him.
My pride is wounded when that happens.
Oh. You like to break up with people?
I just don't like being the one who gets dumped, and I think that's happened to me every single time I've ended a relationship.
Well, getting dumped and being broken up with are two different things.
Yeah.
Like, my last relationship, I was dumped.
I think I've pretty much been dumped. I think I broke up with one girlfriend. I think every other girl has pretty much just kind of up and dumped me. And it
most
sucks.
Of them were straight.
Shut up.
Okay.
That's what you get for dating straight girls.
Hey.
Yeah, you get dumped. Yeah.
You get dumped.
Basically, yes.
Girl.
If you date straight girls, you get dumped. End of story.
Yeah. I don't like being college guinea pigs.
Yeah. High school guinea pigs suck, too.
Yeah. The college guinea pigs, you would think, are better because you're like, oh, maybe you have it together. Wah, wah.
No. Do you think that happens to lesbians more than gay men? Because it seems like
it
does.
Well, I think
so. Well, estrogen inhibits logical thinking.
Oh, you're going to get slapped. If I was here in a room full of women, I wouldn't.
I unfortunately agree with you.
It is scientifically
traitor.
I'm a sexist.
You traitor.
It is scientifically proven, actually, that estrogen affects the brain the same way.
No, stop talking.
That adrenaline does.
Oh my god. Okay, maybe.
So it doesn't get a little nut.
I haven't heard that report,
Travis.
But okay, yeah.
I have five sisters. You gotta understand, I grew up around this, and it just warped me from day one.
You have estrogen in your system.
But seriously, though, do you think
All
that...
Do.
I think so, because... women naturally connect with other women,
mm-hmm.
And so...
In a lot of ways.
Okay.
Oh, my. And so, women naturally...
Brendan is grimacing over there in the corner.
Look at me.
Everybody focus on Beth.
Yeah, and so women naturally connect with other women, so when one of those women... kind of harbors these feelings that I might like another girl, and so they're gonna go seek out someone, you know, to test this theory upon.
And it's
so
true.
It's very true. They'll test the theory on them, and then they're like, okay, I kind of don't like kissing
like,
you, and I don't
mind.
Like it when you touch my leg. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay,
it's
you know, just kind of odd like that. But when a guy discovers, I'm guessing, that I like other boys, it's more of a...
I'm pretty sure about that.
Guys have to be pretty sure to try
pretty
it
damn
out.
Yeah. Pretty doggone sure.
It's not...
It's
why
not
is
one of those
it so
up
much
in the
more
air
socially acceptable for girls to be gay than it is guys?
Because guys are nasty. Yeah, because straight guys say it's okay, and they don't... Straight guys don't really have a problem with it. And so I think that in a social sense, society as a whole is more accepted.
Gay men are respected more in their sexuality.
Well, that's because...
I agree with that statement, because I think that the reason... I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Go ahead.
Anyway. But, no, I think the reason that people are more okay with it is because I think society views lesbians...
As a clay toy for everyone.
Yeah, it's less serious than gay men. I think that there's this notion that lesbians aren't real, that what we do isn't actually sex, that we don't have real relationships, that we're just women who, like, are afraid of men or something.
Or
and so
who
I think
are it's women.
Get men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Women
yeah.
who haven't met the right man. I hate
yes.
that phrase more than anything.
My mother tells me she's trying to make me for
the
past
right
year.
So many times, too. It's not. Only ones who get that one.
No, I have met the right man. He's just gay also. No kidding.
Oh, what a lovely couple. I'm gonna pee.
I showed my parents that picture.
Don't look at me like that.
They were like, oh gosh. It's just something she says. She doesn't mean it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's kind of unfair for people to pass that judgment.
Yeah.
See, y'all see things totally different than I see them.
Well, then how do you
because
see them?
Because we're girls and you're
okay.
a dude.
Exactly.
We see things the right way.
No. When I was in high school, everyone was so weirded out by the concept of...
Gay
male sex. Uh-huh. But, like... gay female sex really didn't bother anybody.
Well, that's because girls are open
because it's not real.
Right.
So. Yeah, exactly. And guys, straight guys think it's hot, which
at
is
the same
gross.
Time, like when people would
sure,
ask me, so you really let a guy do that to you?
Oh my god.
And like even girls would say this. And
that would
and
make
I would always
cry.
Just to freak him out, I'd be like, well actually I'm usually the one doing it to him. And just to screw with their head. But it was amazing the way almost 90% of the people the instant I said that they're like, oh, okay. Like because
like,
I'm not the one getting like
done
penetrated.
Right.
Like I'm somehow more of a man.
Yeah, I guess it's...
Which is crap.
I had a guy tell me once, If I were gay, he said, if I were gay, I'd be the pitcher, not the catcher, because the catcher's way more gay. And I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, pitching and catching is still playing baseball.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he kind of went,
oh. Like, and he just had this like whole like, his plane just crashed because he had actually put thought into
which
where
one
he'd
would
be in gay sex, and then he just realized that he was just as gay as he thought he was, as
he didn't want to be.
Right, exactly.
No, but it's true. I think for, you know, when it comes to gay sex, it's like the receiving partner, you know, must be less of a man because he's letting himself be dominated, and he's sort of emasculating himself because he's taken on what is considered in the heterosexual community the woman's role in sex. And I'm sorry, but I don't think women and men are any, you know, weaker or stronger than the other. But it's just, I think that in that sense, people look on, you know, gay male sex as this, you know, if you're the one, you know, doing it to the other person, well, then that's okay because, you know, you're still in charge. But if you're the one who's going to, you know, just, you know,
it's
what
the
am
same
I
who's
say?
The guy, who's the girl.
Exactly. Who wears the pants
in
the relationship? Two men, they both wear pants.
Heterosexual couples have this really bad habit of seeing everything in these black and white gender roles, and in the gay community, it's more about, you know, gender is very fluid.
Which makes it so difficult to date, I might add.
Yeah, but we're just really like, does. Is that person a man or a woman? Does it matter? You know, like that kind of...
I'd like to know before I, like, you know...
Well, I'm not talking about... I'm just saying in general, you know, because I feel like straight people are just so obsessed with general.
That's like the comment that Travis makes all the time, like, you know what, I date you because your boy act like one, you know what I mean? Like, and I date people because they're girls, they should act like one, but, you know, I sometimes like butch girls, but, you know, whatever. But I think a lot of that is that so many people have this idea of what they want everyone to be like, oh, I'm gay, but everyone else can be gay but needs to act straight. Because we talked about this on the last show, like, guys who are very flamboyant.
And how I'm, like, kind of homophobic.
Yeah, well, you know how a lot of gay personal ads say that they're looking for a straight acting guy?
I hate that.
And I'm all like, what is that about? That upsets me.
Because y'all have all met my straight brother.
He's gayer than I am.
You know, and I'm not the picture of American masculinity, and I know that. But
you're
like,
an all-American boy.
But, like, people still, like, are always trying to define my relationship as, like, this black-white man-woman kind of thing.
And when two men are in a relationship, there is no man and no woman role. And I think that the heterosexual community has a problem with that. They can't see anything any other way. It has to be, you know, who wears the pants, you know, who's the woman, who's the top, who's the bottom. There can't be any.
But in female religions, I mean, apparently
it's the same way. My little brother asked me the same question. And I was like, but we're both women, and he just kind of goes, walks away. And I was like,
I think people have this notion that almost all gay men are just really, really feminine. But that in lesbian relationships, there must be a really butch one and a really femme one. And I'm just...
I think you see it more in lesbian relationships. Okay. I have seen it more. Well, like, more so... In gay relationships, you tend to see really, like, the masculine people sticking to get... coupling with each other. Mm-hmm. And the more feminine ones coupling with each other.
Really?
That's what I've always noticed. I mean, I've never seen, like...
I've never seen a healthy mix, honestly. I don't...
Right, I mean, I'm not saying that's just unilaterally, but with lesbian relationships, and I realize I'm gay and I have a different perspective on this than y'all do, but I've noticed, like, it's more prevalent where you have...
Femme butch.
Not necessarily, quote, like, unquote, totally opposite ends of the spectrum, but, like, even where one is more butch than the other... And that kind of...
slightly more masculine.
not just slightly, but enough pronouncedly. And, like, it really shows in the way they interact with each other, too. I don't know if pronouncedly is a word.
I think it's
we're going to pretend it is.
You've witnessed that here tonight on After Hours, the coining of the new phrase. Pronouncedly.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, Travis. I think that you
right.
do. Of course, Travis is always right. Travis is always right. But no, I think it's true. A lot of times you see a sort of a quote-unquote butch femme pairing in lesbian relationships. However, I have known, you know, lesbian couples who are, I mean, if, you know, unless you're gay and have gaydar, if they were walking down the street, you'd think they were just two really feminine best friends. I've also seen two of the most stone butch women in the world in a relationship. And, you know, it's just, I think if you look at last generation, like our parents' generation, you see that a lot more defined butch. Like, I don't know if anybody went to the Melissa Etheridge concert at the rodeo, but if you want a group of stereotypes...
Well, we know you didn't, Travis.
Travis didn't.
I know what you mean about that.
But no, literally, like, you looked around, and every couple, there was a woman with really, really short hair and a vest and jeans, and a woman on her arm in a dress with long, curly hair.
We saw a lot of vests at the
rodeo. A lot of vests at the rodeo.
Lots of mullets.
Oh, God.
No, that makes me sweat.
I went to a concert when
in a very non-sexual way.
It was the Earth Day Festival. And, like, I had totally forgotten that Jewel was playing. And I'm looking around, like, I'm just going... There are a lot of lesbians here. And I couldn't figure it out. And then I saw, like, the little playlist. And I was like, oh, right, Jewel's playing. And, like, a light bulb went off in my head. But I really noticed there, especially, just, like, this... Like,
it's true. When you get a large congregation of lesbians, you see the stereotypes just, like, glaring at you.
Barbie dolling kids.
Well, stereotypes have to come from somewhere.
No, I know. But it's just so painful, though. It's just painful to walk through, and you're like, wow.
Stereotypes do come from somewhere.
It's not painful. It's just eye-opening. It's just like,
it's painful.
What's that? But do you think it's perpetuated?
Because you see
it. Yes, do you think it's perpetuated because that's what people expect out of lesbian relationships?
Yes,
of course. Or do you think it just happens that way naturally?
I agree. I think so. It is a matter of preference. I think that everybody, you know, you're attracted to whomever and whatever you're attracted to, and that's fine. And they're just happy.
Not animals. I'm sorry.
Colleen, I was really
hoping. Thank you, John.
She said whatever, and that's why I'm concerned. Whoever, that's okay. Whatever.
I don't really think it's perpetuated by society.
I meant whatever gender role, dear.
You know what I mean?
What?
Like, you asked if it was perpetuated by society standards. Like, if people kind of go, well, I'm butch, and I think I'm supposed to date a feminine person, so I'm going to.
I think and I see it, like, there are a lot of young lesbians at my past high school, and...
Shock.
No. Yeah, an all-girls high school. But they have in their mind that, you know, the more butch ones, you know... They feel like they need to find a feminine girl to date, and I'm like, no, just find whomever you're attracted to. But I think this, because that is the way society, and this is perpetuated both by the gay and the straight communities, you know, because we portray sort of a butch femme type relationship in the lesbian community, a lot of the younger girls feel like, oh, you know, I feel more masculine, so am I, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to only be attracted to the more feminine girls. And I kind of felt that way when I first, you know, came across the fact that, I like women. And, you know, I felt, well, I feel more masculine, should I be more attracted to a feminine woman? And I'll be perfectly honest, my first girlfriend was a femme, to an extreme. And so, you know, I think that society standards perpetuate it, but I think society standards perpetuate everything. I mean, you know, it doesn't just have to be, you know, butch femme relationships. It can be anything. And I just think that it's more prevalent in the lesbian community than in the gay community.
Both.
Well,
I've been the more masculine person in a relationship. I've been the more feminine person in a relationship.
Me too. It's a delightful switch.
Nothing ever changed, though. I mean, there were differences in the relationship, but it wasn't like, you know, I was suddenly, like, you know...
A girl?
No, I agree, it's true.
I don't know how to say this delicately. No, I won't say that. But, like, I was still everything... The basic dynamics were still the same. Our masculinity didn't change anything.
Well, then, okay.
It's because, like, the person you didn't change. Because the person you were dating changed, you didn't. So it's like you remain the same, you just happen to be dating a more masculine guy than yourself or a more feminine guy than yourself.
Right, exactly. I still did so every like you cheesy didn't, romantic like, thing yeah. ever to both of them, even though, you know, like, theoretically, if I'm the less masculine, society thinks I should be the one getting flowers or whatever, you know?
I like flowers.
I like giving flowers.
So on to like Colleen's second topic for the night, what she kind of, sorry, you kind of wanted to talk about.
Gay culture.
Do y'all want to tackle
fact
that?
Or fiction?
Well, I think we've already started to tackle it.
If someone can get me a cup of coffee, yet.
I know.
Okay, well, yeah, since it is 10 to 3.
Yeah. Gay culture is really interesting.
Stay tuned.
And especially like the would you? Oh my God.
That was
Winky
bad.
Over here.
I try.
That's cute.
I do too.
You know what's funny?
I think it's adorable.
About gay culture is the difference between gay culture now and gay culture.
Then?
Like when gay culture really surfaced.
Yeah, I wrote my term paper on this. It's scary.
Okay. I like the older gay culture.
I do too.
I listen to Boy George and
but
I wear an earring in my right ear.
You should have been a gay person in the '80s. All right, we all know it.
No, I mean not really.
This every day.
No, I agree with Travis. So I think that the gay culture back, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Well,
was
not
a
50 girl. That's going
well,
way
no,
too far.
No, but no, but even the stone even
no,
the 50s is not the same
culture. Then.
I no, I agree. But I think back then it was cooler to be gay back then than it is now.
Cooler?
If
the cool kids are doing.
Let me
no,
get a girlfriend
but if you're
too.
Into, if you're into being an activist, I think that these days being an activist, it's much more different. Then,
if that's correct grammar.
Much more different.
Much more different.
Yes, much
you can't coin that like you can pronounceably. That just doesn't work.
I wasn't trying. But no, I think that back, you know, 30, 40 years ago, to be gay was to be much more, it was almost a more significant thing. To be gay and to be open about it.
One thing I noticed that, like.
To be open about it, yeah.
If you look at. The gay, what was considered gay things back in the 70s or the 80s, it was in no way close to what the straight community was doing.
Yeah.
The music, the dress,
it was
the
a complete,
attitude,
yeah.
right. And now it's almost like gay men and straight women go hand in hand. The music, the people they idolize, Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, you know, who actually
oh God,
are both
cringe.
Doing music too.
No,
but they run so parallel that it's almost like, what's the point? What? There's no
see,
gay culture. We just copy
yeah,
the straight
but
people.
Even straight culture, because, I mean, heck, you have the new, or not necessarily new, but the metrosexual. The thing.
Which is so just a stolen little term for saying I'm too insecure in myself to say that I'm straight and just want to dress well.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, but I'm saying like,
it's
I
true.
Mean, gay men and straight men, you can't tell anymore by the way they dress half the time.
Which
I mean, there's some
sucks.
Of them. Some of them you can't.
No,
I mean,
it sucks that you can't because you never know who to hit on.
That's
it's
true.
Like, well, he's wearing pink, but.
You never
know.
I have zero gaydar, so yeah. I don't.
The teenage girls
let
started wearing the rainbow.
Yeah, that makes me cry a little inside.
Because
I'm like,
are you gay or are you just colorful?
You
I don't know.
What are you doing?
The,
are you a raver?
The KKK uses the rainbow as their symbol now.
That upsets
me. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to go get me a set of sheets.
That
is also black, by the way. Makes me smile.
Oh, my God. But what you said earlier about...
Can I buy that on eBay? No, I'm like, really serious.
You
I want to put this
could.
On my wall.
You probably could.
Oh,
I'm a little written.
Beth, what you said earlier about, you know, jokingly, all the cool kids are doing it. I'm going to go get a girlfriend.
That's why I have that
it's
sign on my door. I don't want that bisexuality because all the cool kids are doing it. It's like...
My sister the
I
other day...
That.
Nothing upset me more than my sister turning to me. Okay, my sister is 13. She turns to me the other day. I'm with Colleen and a couple of my other gay friends. And she turns to me and says that all her friends and her are all calling themselves bisexual now because it's cool. And I'm like, I'm dying inside because they don't understand. I mean, being gay is not necessarily a cool thing to be if you're not okay with yourself, because being gay is hard.
And then they're just going to go out and break hearts of lesbians. You don't know.
Exactly.
It was the end thing when I was in middle school. Maybe it's just going to be the middle school thing forever. But when I was in middle school, that was like the girls. Every one of them was bisexual.
Middle school and like freshmen.
Yeah,
it was. Then it's still like that transition period where, you know, when you're a
boys
sophomore.
Boys will like me if I kiss Jenny.
Well.
It's Teen Girl Squad from
the Ugly One.
Okay, anyways, moving on. I mean, if you're a junior, senior in high school and you're still saying, hey, I'm bisexual, you know, a little more credit to you, but, like, okay, my little sister, God bless her. She came to me and she was like, you know, I think I might be gay. The first thing I thought is, oh my God, my parents are going to kill me. It's my fault, you know, like I turned gay. And I still honestly believe that half the time. But my thing is, I don't really think you can turn someone gay, but at the same time, I don't think it would have ever crossed her mind had I not come
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I think that...
And I think that when real lesbians are... real lesbians. Real live lesbians.
The real deal.
They go...
Now on sale.
And impress their... the younger generation or anything, then... younger people might think...
That happened to my nephew once.
Quaint.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, I used to paint my toenails. And, it was really more of, like, that middle school rebellion. I'm going to wear, like, pink pants and spike my hair and bracelets up to here and, like, be this little candy
painted
kid
toes?
Raver. I painted my toenails. And my nephew... is 9 now, so would have been like 4 or 5 then. Like, my sister caught him painting his toenails.
Okay.
And he's like, Uncle Travis does it. And I was just like, oh my God, please don't be gay.
Well, now that he has a guy in his life that does it, he might, you know, feel okay doing it. So he might have been,
like, I'm sorry, a 5-year-old like doesn't need to be making those kinds of decisions, though.
Well, true.
But
he might, you know, he may have always wanted to paint his toes, but now that he sees another man doing it, he thinks it's he feels it's okay to paint his toes.
Well, now I don't want to teach my nephew that it's okay for a man to paint his toenails. But no, I'm kidding. But I mean, I mean, if he did it, I wouldn't be like, I'd leave that up to his father. I am afraid that he'll be gay, though. Like, not him specifically, any of them.
Why are you afraid?
I'm not afraid. It's just like, it's the same thing my mom told me, because it's not the easiest thing in the world.
No, it really isn't.
And nothing, like, it's really hard, like, if you don't have nieces and nephews that you're really close to, but, like, I would move something out of the way just so they could walk a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want them to have to... do anything other than easy.
To go through it.
Right. Well, that's what I did. I mean, that's what I almost started, like, my own little posse at my school is... No, I'm serious, though. These girls, because I was probably the first lesbian in the history of my...
You're the lesbian ringleader?
Yes.
There's always one.
I was. No, I really was, and I still am the lesbian ringleader. And these girls would come to me because I was the first... I think I was the first lesbian in, like, the... past 10 years of this school to finally come out and just be like, look, I'm gay, get over it. And these girls would come to me and be like, Claire, I think I'm gay. And I'm like, oh God. And so what I did is I put my ass on, excuse me, my butt on the line.
You can say that.
I think you can say ass and damn.
I'd put my ass on the line for the school, for the sake of these girls. And they, I mean, I found myself, you know, jeopardizing my own educational career to try and make their lives easier for them. You know, I stood up to the school and I, you know, rallied and I argued and I bitched and moaned and fighted and fought.
That's another word.
No, it's not.
Why don't you just sleep with them?
That is not
the solution. You want to find out if you're gay?
No. Because most of them found girls of their own, and Because I'm not that kind of...
Because
I'd already been screwed over once by a straight chick, and not only was I afraid for my own mental well-being, but I don't want to be the one to, you know, I don't want to be these girls' first heartbreak because I want to be their role model. I don't want to be the one who tells them, look, you're great and all, but... You know, I
love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Yeah, basically, what we said earlier.
We went over that. Already.
But I really did, and I think that the same goes, you know, if I had a family member, a younger family member who was gay, I would do everything in my power to try and make their lives easier, because it sucked being the first, you know, gay child in my family to really come out. And so,
yeah,
I think it makes it difficult.
I'm the first since my uncle.
My parents said, duh, basically.
Yeah, so did mine.
Shock.
Well, all right, well, we've got to kind of wrap it up. It's late.
But first, we'll give you some information about Hatch. If you'd like more information, go to www.hatchyouth.com. Or .org. I'm sorry. And you can call the youth line at 713-529-3590. And that's it.
Later, Dave.
Good night.
Buenos noches.
So,
okay, and
smile. Cheese.
Jenny wanted me to introduce y'all to some older music.
All right, let's go.
So for the girls, so a little classic here, Meg Christian with "Ode to a Gym Teacher." And you're listening it to. We're going to listen to that here. Yeah. On After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Alone. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Did I actually put the... Oh, it's on this... Hold on, it goes... Come here. Nuts. Okay, good, it's working now. It went to sleep on me. Wakey, wakey.
What about the CD? It on my locker, and I carved it on my desk, and I painted big red hearts with her initials on my books, and I never knew till later why I got those funny books. She was a big tough woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong, and full graduation meant that we had to part. While the others talked of boys that they love, I'd be thinking of new aches and pains a teacher had to rub. And while other girls went to the prom, I languished by the phone, calling up and hanging up if I found out she was home. She was a big time woman, the first to come along, that showed me Johnny Mathis. I gave her everything. A new chain for her whistle and some daisies in the spring. Some suggested points for Christmas by Miss Edna Millay. And a lacy, lacy, lacy card for Valentine's Day. Unsigned, of course. She was a big time.
never thought I had the time to try and make her mine. Something about her I just can't explain, like a faded dream, don't even know her name. She seemed to be a long lost friend, and when she took my hand I thought that I was in. She was sitting there all alone, she said just take me home, and then she was gone. What happened to the girl I met here? Since I saw her I can't forget her. What happened to the girl I met here? What happened to the girl? There was something I saw in her eyes that told of sad goodbyes, a little sweet and wise. I was only looking for a friend, someone to understand, would she come back again? What happened to the girl I met here? Since I saw her I can't forget her.
Thought she only sung about estrogen bombs and masturbation blues.
I know it. That didn't even sound like Candy Cane. And she had that...
I can't tell if you highlighted it or not.
She had on her serious voice there.
That was Candy Cane, What Happened to the Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we took you with one of those classic blasts to the past.
No, no kidding. Meg Christian, one of the original originators of women's music back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, see, it doesn't say when that song was out from, but, you know, all of her music, her discography.
Well, that's because that's from the best of.
Yeah, her discography goes from 73 to 84.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, she was out there playing before she ever made a CD. Or a record, actually.
Yeah, and Olivia...
Vinyl record, back then.
Olivia's not Olivia's no longer around as a record company.
No, they're around as a...
tour group.
Tour group, yes.
That's the one that Rosie took on her mm-hmm. little cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Before chasing off all the women of the VO.
Well.
I mean, that was... I mean, you know, if I would have known that was happening, I don't watch these shows, but, you know, I got hooked on watching the Katie Couric farewell. Mm-hmm. To see how pomp and circumstance that was.
Whatever.
And then, you know, I had to watch Meredith Vieira, whatever, from The View.
I've never watched the show.
You should be quite familiar. I'm not sure how much it's going to change with Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
But you have seen, basically, episodes of The View performed here on the show.
I'm afraid to ask.
The round table we get five screaming queens, and they're all wanting to talk over each other, and you can't hear anything. But
That's the view. Gotcha.
Yeah. Except with funny accents.
I actually saw a documentary on Charles Bush on one of the cable stations, and it was really wonderful. And they had clips of a roundtable discussion at the Jewish Y in New York, mm-hmm. and Meredith Vieira was chairing it.
Oh.
She loved Charles Bush.
Right. So if you don't know Charles Bush, playwright, screenwriter, actor.
Yes. Drag queen.
Die, Mommy, Die.
Yeah.
Psycho Beach Party mm-hmm. are the two major films recent there. And then soap opera was on One Life to Live, I think.
Charles Bush was on the soap opera as a drag queen?
Yes, in female. In the female persona. I'm thinking One Life to Live, or it was As the World Turns.
As the Stomach Turns.
The reason why I'm saying...
Oh, my goddamn children.
The other reason why I'm saying One Life to Live is I think I remember seeing him when watching soaps with my mother, and that's one of her soaps.
Hey, but it's a wonderful documentary. It's called The Lady in Question is Charles Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Very well done.
Yeah, One Life to Live.
How nice.
He's also on Frasier and Oz. Adam's Family Values. So, okay. We've done that.
Okay. Well, Gigi is not here. He is doing what this week?
Last I heard, he was up in Colorado. I overheard somebody earlier saying something about him being at some conference.
Oh.
I don't know the details.
Oh, yes. So. It's a bi conference that's being held. I remember getting some information on that a few months ago. And we talked about it for a few weeks.
Yeah. Now, you say, I was doing a little research on the internet here about an hour ago. I remember seeing some things about them. I didn't really look at them because mm-hmm. I wasn't doing the research on. So, you know more about than I do right now.
So, we're going to kind of scrape together what we can for buying.
Yeah.
We got.
Because we happen to have three bona fide bisexuals.
All right. Bonafide.
Yeah.
I got a license to do this.
Yeah. I can't seem to make up my mind here. Yeah. Which way to go?
We've got...
You don't have to make up your mind.
A man and two women. Oh, my. Let's shut the door and let them go out.
I'm going to let my straight side out for a while.
I was about to say, I was watching this video earlier that's the show.
Anyway, I'm Dave. I'm David Great Bear, my mm-hmm. friend. Significant other, Robin, and...
Lynn.
I guess we'll have sort of our own little round table discussion going here with the theme around bisexuality.
Just the bi table.
Well, we were out on the deck a little while ago talking about what it means to be bisexual, and we were you were complaining about swingers groups and how they thought about it. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
My own part of the reason I explored the swingers group is part of my own work to gain a better understanding who I am as a sexual being, use the opportunity to just, go out and play and work with other people. And the swingers groups, my experience with them, combination of direct experience plus what I've read, it tends to, it aims at sort of straight crowd mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And the tendency tends to be kind of maybe patriarchal, male dominated. We're talking about the experience Robin and I had where, I didn't go chase after any guys while there, but if we kind of say a couple of things, yes, I'm open to that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The mood in the room changed a lot suddenly when he says that.
Swinger groups are more, like you said, they're more male dominant, and the males that are in those are strictly there for their pleasure with females.
Right.
They're not looking at each other.
Yeah. The irony of the situation, I remember when we went to a meet and greet meeting that they had, they gave us paperwork, go and sign, yes, we will keep secret where we're doing this and all
sure.
that. and also a list of questions. Are you, you know, interested in this and this and this, or open to, or whatever? And one of the things was, are you open to, you know, bisexuality? You know, are you bisexual, bi-curious, or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, there's, they claim they're open, but again, it may be open to the idea, yeah, two women getting together.
Mm-hmm.
But men, uh-uh.
And then they get this thing where me and David got kicked out of it, because my theory is that this one guy that was there, had this one guy, he was straight, but he was French.
Mm-hmm.
You know how French people are.
Yes, I do.
And so it's like we didn't have to really say anything to each other when we first got there. First couple of hours, we just eating and getting to know each other and everything. And me and this French guy, we started talking and being, you know, getting to know each other and everything. And when it was time for the sex to come out,
mm-hmm.
me and him, we didn't even have to say anything. We just knew what we want and just went with the motions. And it was kind of like almost like a soap opera. We just started off slowly, and it was very romantic the way we did it. And then it was this one guy, he kept, after me and him got it off, and then me and David, we had a little fun. And this one guy, he just kept bugging me, because I don't know, he was upset because he didn't date every girl that was there almost. And the way he was going around acting, he was very egotistical, very, I'm the man here and all that type of attitude. And when he came up to me, I told him no. And he just kept asking me, and I said no. And I think what happened was, the last time we had went, they had a Super Bowl. So it was like right after that, you know, right behind each other. And it wasn't okay and everything. But then when we signed up to go again, they said that we didn't get invited.
Ooh.
So me and David decided to go down to the meet and greet and find out anything okay, anything wrong or something. They kind of find out everything was okay. That they was having trouble with the email or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And so we signed up to, you know, well, we'll call you on the email and let you know that we're excited to go on Saturday. And next thing you know, David gets an email saying that, oh, somebody felt uncomfortable with us being there or some crap. And so we're not invited anymore. And I'm like, what?
And for no, they really didn't give a reason, just somebody felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, and yeah. I bet you it was a jerko that was following me around. Yeah.
Now, I'll go ahead and put this out, say that we're not here to bash the swingers, but
no.
We're just going to be talking about our experience.
That, to me, you know? Swinging is everybody going and have fun. It ain't just only just for one group of one sex.
Yeah.
To enjoy it. It's like, to me, swinging to me is like Gigi would have these parties. He would call them swingers party. He would have like a costume party, or here have like different parties, and usually sex usually end up getting involved, but usually it'd be like everybody,
yeah,
it's pleasing everybody, everybody's happy, you mm-hmm. know, it's like gay, straight, heterosexual, whatever that's going on, it's gonna happen, it's like nobody's having a problem with it, it's just all open, and you don't have to sign a paper or anything, you don't have to be secrecy, it's like, oh, come to the party, you know, it's all on the internet and everything. So, I mean, I'm thinking swingers party. I'm thinking maybe it's going to be like that. I get down there, and it's mostly catering to the heterosexual male, which sucks. It's so half-ass.
Yeah, very strict.
And like, I can never understand the secrecy part of it. It's like, why are they so secretive? What's mm-hmm. the deal with that, you know?
To me, it reminds me of an interesting paradox or contradiction I've noticed through the various groups dealing with sexual identity, sexual activity, whatever. You know, here, you know, people of, you know, the GLBT persuasion have had to deal with a lot of persecution, a lot of, you know, negative stereotyping,
you
all
know,
that.
You know, you're saying that, and too. It seemed like the GLBT would be more secretive.
Right, yeah, but they are actually, they're kind of relatively out there, whereas here's this group who are doing what's supposed to be the cultural norm, and they're the ones who are secretive. It's like, I can go over to, I think this place, Hollywood, over here in Fairdale.
Fairview,
the Hollywood, it's not the superstore, I think that may be the
video. The novelty store?
Yeah, the novelty store. And, yeah, they got some pornographic stuff in there. Yep, I feel comfortable going in there. It's very open. It's, you know, it's very, you know,
it's
got
like
a lot of things.
It's no secret. It's like,
We're right here.
Yeah, I know of several adult bookstores that apparently cater to the straight crowd. I mean, there's this one company that's got billboards all over the place. You go up to the store itself, and got this one little sign on the corner of the building. It's like you almost can miss it. So, again, that kind of contradiction there.
I mean, you go to Hollywood, and they got, like, pictures of Gandhi's statues, or what you call them, on dummies, or whatever you call them.
Little dolls.
With their little kinky underwear online, and their
anatomically correct dolls.
It's like... We're right here. Come on in. It's, you know, gay sex. Yay! What, straight? It's straight? It's like...
I think I can help out on what their problem on the secrecy is because... And this is something I haven't discussed with Jimmy, but I know that when I meet a female that is strictly for female, she has a problem accepting me because I am married, and even though I have had long-term relationships with women, they seem to have a problem with that. And I think a lot of the problem with the male part of the bi community is they don't want the quote stigmatism of being gay, but what they don't realize or not willing to accept is they are part of the gay community.
There's a huge section of the gay community that either does not accept bisexuals or doesn't believe they exist.
Yeah.
They believe, and that drives me crazy.
Well, there's a large part of the community that believes that those of us that are bi are sitting on the fence, and they want us to go to one side or the other.
Right. Well,
first, my reply is, what's wrong with sitting on the fence? If you do it right, it can actually feel pretty good.
Yeah, no joke.
I have a friend of mine named Bob. He has this big issue with me. He always arguing with me about it. Now, it's impossible to be gay. It's like, it's scientifically impossible for your brain to feel for phrase like that. It's like you get brain damage or something. It's like either they're straight and they just deviant, or they're gay and they just don't want to. They haven't came out of the closet yet. It's like, I've been like this for a long time. It's like, because I was just gay and haven't came out of the closet. I think I'll be out by now. And if I was straight and was deviant, I probably would have stopped by now.
Gay is an orientation.
I mean,
straight is an orientation. Bi is an orientation.
It's like, I can't accept that this, maybe there could be another sexual orientation.
Being bi, gay, or less is not who we are.
No.
And that's part of the problem, and I think that's part of what they were having to deal with. That's why the secrecy and the part of them being afraid that they would be perceived is not being perceived in a good light.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have the opposite experience, actually, because I've always been gay. And at one point in my life, in the early mid-70s, I thought, gee, you know, because this was, you know, the sexual revolution started in the 60s and continued in the 70s during the disco period. And I always thought, well, you know, if I could label myself bisexual, maybe I would be more accepted. Mm. And so I tried it. For a summer, and I knew of a place where couples went looking for a third, and so I did that a lot, and then discovered, you know, after a few months that, you know, I'm going home with opposite sex couples, but I've realized that I'm really only interested in the male.
Yeah.
So why am I doing this? You know, sex with females was nice, but it's not where my passion was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So from then on, I knew, okay, you're really gay. I tried it. It didn't make me straight. So here I am.
Right. My own experience in learning about myself and what works You know, the way I label myself is I call myself bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my nature favors the straight side.
Yeah.
As far as what I think my biology is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are occasionally times I almost feel like a gay man in a straight man's body. Because somehow I find myself connecting and relating to what I see and hear gay men going through. It's like, you know.
I really think it's all on the continuum.
Right.
You know, the Kenzie's... Six.
Right.
Zero to six. Zero being exclusively heterosexual, mm-hmm. six being exclusively homosexual.
Right.
And I think very few people are zeros, and very few people are sixes. And most everybody is somewhere in between.
Right.
I'm probably about a five and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know? and I'm pretty damn gay, I'll tell you.
Yeah. But, two or three, 4 years ago, there's an article in Outsmart magazine. A woman, local woman, who's a therapist and a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
psychotherapist, had wrote a book on the subject of how you know help psychological treatment for people who are GLBT.
Yeah,
because you know anyone who's otherwise straight, you know, trying to deal with somebody like that, you know, may not get it, you know, or understand what's going on. And I still got the article somewhere, but within the article, they had this little column and with a couple paragraphs about maybe this is what maybe a gay man needs,
mm-hmm.
what a lesbian needs.
Yes.
And what struck me was the part where he talked about, well, here's what does a bisexual person need? And a person, what that person may need is validation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, I guess
as a matter of fact, because it's really tough for bisexuals. You know, straight people have clubs to go to, gay people have clubs to go to, and bisexuals have...
Zero.
Right. Yeah.
If it wasn't for Gigi, we wouldn't have nothing to do.
Yeah, there are no clubs for bisexuals. There are no places for bisexuals to congregate, really.
That's something me and David was deciding maybe one of these days we can open up a bisexual swingers.
Something so that bisexuals can feel a sense of community.
Right. Yeah. That's like I say, you know, to me the term about validation, I'm being validated. Because, you know, again, like I said, my nature favors straight side. That's on the surface.
Sure.
I'm going to be more attracted to a woman than a man.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's something deeper in me that... You know, I see a woman real attractive. I'll look at her, but as soon as she disappears out of the picture, something in my mind can say, okay, now is there some guy around here I go interested in?
Yeah, I tell you the truth. When I first met David, I would never thought that he was straight until he told me, because I find himself reacting to men more frequently than he does to females. Like me, I could see a guy walk past me, and I'm like, LL Cool J or somebody, and I'm like, oh my God, who's the woman? But, I mean, David, it's like, he doesn't really, he probably noticed the female, and he's like attracted to it, but it's like he's scared that he's going to piss her off.
I don't know if it's that.
It's hard to piss off a man when you compliment a guy. It's like, oh, thank you, you know.
Person some level, maybe overcompensating, too.
I get the feeling that bisexuality is somewhat new to you, David.
That's, in a way, it is. I mean, when I really think about it, yeah, I've always had the potential, but I spent most of life thinking I was straight because, well, you know, look at a man or woman, it's like a tendency to be looking more at the woman.
And perhaps since you have allowed yourself to explore that bisexual side, you're maybe like a kid in the candy store, and maybe overcompensating, saying, oh, really, check out the guys now.
I've never seen him eyeballing a woman, I swear to God. And I eyeball every man. he could tell you, I'd be like, oh, man.
Again, it's like saying earlier, maybe, you know, it's like gay man, straight man's body, in that, you know, I hear something, you know, something about the subject, you know, homosexuality, or I'd be listening to this program.
Yeah.
Found myself wondering, ask me, okay, you know, why am I interested in listening to these people? What's going on here? And then I found out, yes, it's possible maybe to be have some interest in both. And it's like, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
That's getting my attention. Tell me more about that.
So hanging out with you two must be fun, because you two can cruise together and you can cruise everybody.
Yeah.
I see some women, too, and I'd be like, I remember coming from Dallas, and I went to the Democratic Convention. And I had, like, these two guys that are in the car, because maybe straight.
I have a feeling that one of them might be five, but I'm not going to get into that. And there's this woman riding on a motorcycle, and she had on these tight pants, and she was like an hourglass shape and everything, and she's riding this Yamaha, this Hamasaki or whatever you call it, going real fast, and I'm like, whoa! Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah. I mean, it was like, it's like the last time you see in a magazine or something.
You're right.
Like, whoa.
Ask her, try and get her some, get her phone number.
Well, her boyfriend was right in the front, so
okay.
I don't know how they were thinking
of that.
Right.
Hard to dig.
Yeah. He had a motorcycle right in front of her.
Right. Definitely got your attention.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but the issue, you know, about how we are accepted, you know, by, you know, other people in the GLBT, you know, alphabet soup we got going there. My own personal experience, except for a couple of specific situations, I've always felt, you know, accepted. There's a couple of gay men's group I hang out with, and, you know, tell them about my experience, say, hey, come on in. That's, you know, you're welcome here. That's the message you got. And like I said, a couple of specific situations. It was an individual situation where the guy, a gay man, came up to me in a, you know, honorable way, kind of told me, hey, I'm having some problems with this. And I said, I hear you.
I have that feeling, too, that you're more comfortable because you know what a man thinks and everything, and you know you're not going to get slam dunk or nothing.
Right.
And you just don't know, have a clue what a woman's thinking, so you're just kind of intimidated by a woman.
Yeah,
so you don't, you're not comfortable straining, discussing your feelings and stuff around women. Yeah. You feel more comfortable around men. And
yeah.
Me, I mean, I had the same problem. And me, I just went around more men and try to understand what they were thinking and try to feel what they were feeling so I can be able to approach men easily. But I guess it's harder for men to do that than it is for women to do that, to be comfortable with men. Because men, they gotta, I mean, it's, men have this complexity with women to begin with, you know, anyway.
For some reason, men seem to be mystified and yet afraid of females, and I don't understand that, because to me, neither gender has that.
It's just that women, they're afraid they're going to be ejected, you know, that women are going to get offended. They just don't understand us at all because they don't experience us. And if you think about it, I thought about it too, that, you know, if you can offend a woman, you know, it's like being ejected by a woman is worse than being ejected by anything else. It's just more intimidation factor. I mean, when I find that, like, when I first started dating, I couldn't understand why you put all these men groups. When I started wanting to open up, I wanted to open up to everybody so I could get comfortable with everybody and not with just one type of group of people. I want to get I even went to one point, went to a church group so I can get comfortable with straight people that are want to be married and have a picket fence and everything, so I can be comfortable with them. I may not never want. I would like to have children and stuff, but not exactly like that. You know, I would like to have it in the Montrose area or something. But I mean, it's like, but with, I find out with men, it's harder for them to do that because of the for some reason they see us women as more intimidating. It's just, oh, she's gonna get mad. It's, if I approach too hard or something, she's going to get mad and all that. And don't know what she's thinking.
Because I think when men approach women, they are already attracted to them. Or if it's someone that they've seen around or know, they're already halfway in love with. So if they get rejected, that's a knife in the heart.
Yeah. Now, my reply to that, you know, my own experience is, you know, with men and women, most women, if I see them, yeah, that's, you know, final track, yeah, that sexual thought's going to be in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the thing I'm learning is to kind of keep that in front of me. They're in the, you know, involved with the New Warriors, and we had this phrase about keeping the shadow in front of you. The idea being this thing, pattern, habit, whatever you want to call it, it's kind of tucked back in the psyche, where it can't be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of take that out and just keep it in front of you as a way of just simply acknowledging it's there. not necessarily judge as good, but just say, okay, I have, this is what I do, okay, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Just I accept it. And then that way, when I, you know, see a woman that I find attractive, and, you know, you get the those feelings, oh, I want to get her in bed and all that, just say, okay, I'm doing that, I still see this, see a human being, who am I going, still going to be respectful of? And with men, I don't know, with men, it's probably more of an emotional thing. I mean, most guys will look at, you know.
It's an instant thing.
Right.
Instant attraction. Talk to a guy. If you both feel the same, you go off and do it, and then that's it.
Right. Yeah. Also, you know, Robert was wrong talking, but yeah, in a way, yeah, I'm probably more comfortable on men than women. I mean, one of the things I like about it is they're kind of slightly so butchy masculine style, so I do feel more comfortable with her in that manner. And also, with men, concerned to, you know, the bisexuality or my gay side as it is, if I'm hanging around a bunch of straight guy or a bunch of straight men, it's really not very strong. I might see some guys that, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, mate appearance might be good, though I might probably more like to pick up with, you know, just how well I get along with. If I'm around a bunch of gay guys, yeah, I'm starting to check them out a little more.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that thought is, ooh, I wonder if I could do something. You know. Yeah, just, oh, yeah, okay, I do that. And, hey, made her his opportunity there. And I got, you know, turned down the opportunity as long as we otherwise get along. And ultimately, even with the women, it's got, yeah, I realize I'm still dealing with another human being. I don't care how good she looks. If we can't get along, it ain't going to work.
Right.
And I think women have a tendency to play with a man's thoughts and his emotions more. Know that when I was dating many years ago, guys are very straightforward. They know what they want, and they know how they want it. And a woman has a tendency to try to play you. Women have a tendency to play head games.
That exact phrase was just spoken in the previous segment when the Hatch folks were in here, and the women were talking about women do more head games with each other. And with guys, it's just attraction, do it, see you later.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they were saying something, you know, we were out on the patio earlier, mm-hmm. and made a comment about going over to one of the bathhouses earlier in the week. I like to do that every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, I just enjoy it. Plus, again, it's an opportunity kind of to explore and kind of figure out, okay, how am I feeling about this? I had a couple of encounters, you know, me and this other guy, you know, we're doing sexual things, but somehow it did feel like we're getting more into kind of some cuddling and kissing and all that other stuff. And it's like, oh, this feels good. This is meeting a need.
It's amazing how men can do that to open themselves up romantically and give a lot emotionally in an anonymous encounter.
Right. I mean, I had this other guy a little while there. Some guy just came, you know, came up to me, and we just started hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, some sexual energy there, but somehow I just felt good just to be hugged like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give up Robin for that, because it's a different need.
Yeah,
it's still compatible.
I find out maybe that's why there's not any bathhouses or spas for women. Because women, I find that women just don't do that. You know, it takes a while for them to really get to that point.
Yeah, females have to have more, I think, of an emotional tie. They require, I don't want to say commitment, because I've had a past experience where that commitment wasn't. But I think they desire more the emotional has to be there than just to be able to really justify in their head that they want to meet that physical need and go on.
Do you think it's because perhaps women were raised to believe that nice girls don't do it, and then you have to spend most of your adulthood throwing that crap off just so you can enjoy sex?
Well, me, I learned how to throw it off long time ago. Mm-hmm. That's why I can go to swingers parties and stuff and just jump somebody's bones right away. Yeah. I
mean, well, you kind of remind me of Jewel, who used to do the lesbian segment here, because she was always lamenting how there wasn't a bathhouse for women, that she would be first in line if one ever opened up.
Yeah, because I'd be like, whoa, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but that, I go through periods where I'm totally turned off. I just do not want to have sex. It's like I can go months with no sex and just be satisfied. And then other times I'm like, oh, let's go do it. I want to go do it.
Well, lucky your boyfriend is bisexual then.
Well, yeah. You know, cause sometimes I worry. I get a little worried, too, because I go to those periods where I just, you know, it's just.
You may be going through one now.
It's not important right now. So it's like, well, it's not important. I guess it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I want to have sex. You know, he's like, it's important to him all the time. But, you know, for me.
Yeah, it's, we're guys.
Every now and then, right. It's like, okay, it's real. So,
why are you doing after the show, Jimmy?
And other times, it's like, sex? Huh?
Hmm?
Like,
What's that?
You know, it's like I don't know, it's a hormone thing or what it is, but
I don't know
what happens. But, and I find a lot of women, they do experience that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I heard like marriages and stuff get messed up because it's just ain't there.
Sure.
It's like, you don't love me anymore, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no.
How come when we were first married, we did it three times a day and now I can't get you to do it once a week?
See, men equate, and I'm going to talk the heterosexual side here.
Sure.
Okay?
Because gay men and heterosexual men have a lot in common, really.
Yep.
A heterosexual male will equate sex with love.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's right there. If you're not with him three times a week in the bed, making him climb the walls, you don't love him.
Well, let me put it to you this way. An older friend of mine said the difference between men and women are...
Okay, Jimmy.
Women give sex to get love.
Mm-hmm.
And men give love to get sex.
Yep. And that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm aware of that with myself with relationship with Robin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy having sex with her. And that is a important part of relationship.
Sure.
At the same time, it's like saying keeping the shadow in front of me. I keep that awareness in front of me, so I will still be respectful of her. I still love her as a person, as a friend.
Yeah.
And I've also told her if I, you know, so like the deal is I want to be able to ask for it when I want to, and she want her to have the right to say no.
There you go. Yeah,
so, I mean, if I have a problem with it, I'll just take myself in the corner and have a good talk to myself.
I have been having a problem with telling him no, because
I'll go
to the
bathhouse.
There you go.
Because in the past, I dated guys that wasn't like David, that were bisexual, except for Jimmy.
He was a sweetie.
But, I mean, it's like, a lot of times I'll tell a guy no, and he fits a fit like a little kid. And all of a sudden, it's a big deal.
You don't love me.
So, shut up. And so, I'm having a hard time with David. It's like, David, I really don't feel like it. And I'm having a hard time telling him because of that crap that I deal with dating other men. So, it's like, well, David, can you tell me? You know you can tell me. No, it's no big deal. I just go and masturbate or go, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's like, are you sure? You're okay with it? He said, yeah, I'm sure. I'm okay with it. I said, because I'm so used to the guy tripping over it, you know. And I'm like, he's like an average guy. You know,
there's some women.
He's so cool with it.
Yeah, I can feel a little disappointed. But, again, I'm going to be respectful.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like, because I know I could do that. I'm going to be careful with that because I know how. I mean, that could be dangerous if I'm not careful with it. You know?
And there's going to be other times when you're probably going to be hard pressed to keep up with her.
Yeah.
I've been times when I just threw him down and he was like, okay. And I whooped his pants off. And he was like, literally tripping over your pants down at his ankle. Okay. And for some reason, I go up and down. And like the older I get, the more it happens. When I was in my early 20s, it was like, up all the time, you know, like,
okay. Yeah, that's the other factor too. Yes, that changes things,
right? Gotta change subject here a little bit,
sure,
still on bisexuality, but want to do something in honor of a man who's played a big part in validating bisexuality. I'd like to learn more about Dr. Fritz Klein.
Oh, absolutely. He's been a telephone guest on this show quite a few times.
Well, he, you know, people didn't hear, he now walks with the spirits. He passed away back
in didn't know that. When did this happen?
May 24th. Basically from cardiac arrest.
Oh.
His home in San Diego. He is 73. So born December 27, 1932. Writing down, checking my notes here. Apparently, like, basically, it was a heart attack.
This is the first I've heard of it. Right. I guess because I was just coming out of the hospital.
Yeah.
When that happened.
He's been doing a lot of work concerning what is bisexuality and kind of getting it out there and say yes, this is normal. It is a real thing.
He wrote one of the first affirming books on bisexuality, which I have always called the Bisexual Bible.
Mm-hmm. Called the Bisexual Option.
Right.
And from the notes, he also wrote some other books, something called Life, Sex, and the Pursuit of Happiness. That's actually his most recent book. Is that kind of a work of fiction? Something he just published last year. Another book, which I did, I was looking at the website here a little while ago. I may have to get this book myself. It's called Man, His Body, His Sex. Also written in 1978, same year the...
Oh, I didn't know that. I hadn't heard of that one.
I'll have to look that up. He was also a founder of the American Institute of Bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a website, www.bisexual.org. So, and there, like I said, I was looking at the website earlier. They do have the front page is a memorial, what word?
Yeah. Memorial to him.
Right, talking about his life and experiences. And... reading about him a little bit about his life and all, turns out he basically was practicing what he preaches. He was bisexual himself.
Absolutely.
He had a male partner, mm-hmm. so he kind of favored the gay side, I would say. But he was honest with himself. But hey, kind of had feelings both ways, and kind of contributed to his work in studying what is this thing and what other people are doing, how other people are involved with it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of his big things, which I found helpful, he took the Kinsey scale and expanded on it, creating what he called a Sline orientation grid, where you're able to take, let me look that up.
Yeah, he talked about that.
I think I remember hearing one of those interviews, been some time ago, but came up with a grid. Because you realize that, when you call someone bisexual, I think this could be argued for people who label themselves gay or straight, that there's more going on there than just simply this one label. And came up with this sexual orientation grid.
Mm-hmm.
Various variables kind of had seven categories, sexual attraction, sexual behavior, sexual fantasies, emotional preferences, social preferences, hetero, homo lifestyle, and self-identification. And you come up with a, kind of 1 through 7 number for that in 3 categories, past, present, and ideal. This is my past behavior. This is what seems to be going on now. And this is kind of what I want, the ideal. This is kind of one thing I find myself dealing with is, when I ask myself, concerning my own identity, this is what I seem to be. Now, what would I actually want to be? And I'll say, it's kind of like, pretty much kind of down the middle.
Yeah.
As far as, attraction. And, of course, and like I said, while I might find women more attractive than men, there is been a tendency of my own habits for the last 5 or 6 years were to be perhaps more active with men. Robin being the exception. If anything, my tendency right now is if I was to try and find sex with be sexual with someone outside of our relationship, probably would be with a man rather than a woman at this point. But
I think you find that in all bisexuals is that for a certain amount of time, we have, I being female, there are times that I have a stronger attraction to male than I do female. It doesn't necessarily mean that I don't desire being with female.
Right.
But there's also times that my wants are to be with a female and my desire for her is stronger than my desire to be with a male, but that's still there.
Right.
And I think that's something that we all experience, and I think that's something that, as far as I'm concerned, is totally normal.
Right.
I experienced the same thing you just said a while ago. I experienced that too.
Yeah, we humans are too complex to be able to describe ourselves with a single label.
Yeah.
So that's the way I would describe it. So, where are we? And, check my notes here. Okay. Apparently, Dr. Klein was originally, I think he was born in Germany originally, but immigrated to the U.S. when he was still a child to escape the Nazi persecution that was going on at the time. Apparently, he's also Jewish, so that, but eventually did return, apparently got his medical training in Switzerland, you know, became a psychiatrist, did that for many years, so.
He is, I think we're definitely going to feel a loss in our community from him, because he has, as you said, written books. And
right.
I know the bisexual option there is one of the things that I went to later on in life and read and found it to be of a lot of help for me to realize that I was normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to a short piece of music, and we'll come back, say goodbyes. It's coming on to 3:50, and Messerschmitt is in the house, ready to go at 4 o'clock.
That's Messerschmitt domination, happy hour.
That's the one. But now, a little something from Boy George, from one of my favorite CDs of his.
It
was called Cheapness and Beauty.
Boy, I know your secrets, though you brag and swagger, and you lay the women down. You're the saint of God that cried in my arms and kissed me when the lights went down. I hear you married some Danish girl. I'm so glad that it wasn't me. 'Cause you're like so many of those boys I've known. You break your promise easily. Unfinished business. Fox in the headlights. Tears for what might have been. Unfinished business. Crawling out of the woodwork. You know how to ruin a good dream. See your life reflected in my painted eyes. These memories are hard to shake. I press my lips against your trembling flesh and waited for your back to break. You liar, you coward, you sleeping fool. Hey, don't you know that secrets kill? Heaven and hell are right here on earth, decided by your own free will. Unfinished business. Fox in the headlights, tears for what might have been. Unfinished business, crawling out of the woodwork. I know how to ruin a good dream. I'd go tell your friends that I'm mad in my head, that I don't know what I mean. You walk like Jack and you. Love like Mary, and you're more than a bit of a queen. Unfinished business. Yeah, you know exactly what I mean. You
unfinished business. Yes, I've got, you know exactly what I mean.
Boy George, who recently was in the news for his escapades. If I remember correctly, he called the police because somebody stole his drugs.
Oh, that was smart.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to play that one especially because it was his kind of ode to his ex-lover, bisexual John Moss, who was the drummer for Culture Club.
Oh, yeah, and he was kind of cute, too.
Very cute, but he... He was a bit ashamed of his bisexuality.
Aww.
And that was the problem between the two of them. And it's what broke up Culture Club,
yeah,
as a matter of fact.
I hate that a tragedy.
Yeah.
I love Culture Club.
So. She said Torture Club. I was like, what?
That's a different group.
3:54 in the a.m., and we're about ready to close it down for another week's edition of After Hours.
Next week, I don't know if we're having Diane Rose or not.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. But we are going to be doing a little After Hours News and Views special report.
Yes, we are.
For those of you who are in the LSA community, you know what our topic is
and
going
that
to be.
LSA is Lone Star Activist.
Lone Star Activist. That's it's a Yahoo group.
For queer activists.
And not too often on there does a topic come up that you usually get past, you know, maybe 7 emails going back and forth. And apparently I made a comment that some people actually read for a change. And I like to refer to it as the tornado hitting the porta potty office, because there was a Shiite storm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's been very interesting, and we're hoping we're going to have a lively debate on it. And it's about, you know, a subject that's dear to my heart. Not enlarged, not diseased, but near to my heart. And that is people of size.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go into a little bit of discussion, and hopefully we will find somebody who's a lipophobe out there who will come in and talk about it. But it was an interesting debate, and it's, you know, it's gotten kind of nasty.
Yeah, as it tends to do.
To where I mean, it is there.
You got a group of activists. Gee, you think there's any egos involved in this?
Yeah.
Just
but,
a little.
You know. My only problem is that, you know, and I've said this before about some of the topics that have come up there. We get a lot of people who are, that's the level of their activism, of how much they can actively move their mouse or their keyboard. And that kind of upsets me as someone who spent 7-8 years actually, you know, doing some activism actively.
Like Q Patrol.
On Q Patrol out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, dragging my happy, yes, it's fat ass down here on a Saturday night or a Friday night to entertain and educate people.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a lively debate. We'll talk about it a little bit. And it's not self-promotion. It's not drama. It's, you know, something that, you know, until all of the big new network cast found out about MySpace and all the evils you'll find on there.
There's evils on MySpace.
Yeah, you know, it's for those people who aren't Catholic priests that they can have the children delivered to them.
Oh, I see.
They go to MySpace.
All the perverts.
And so, you know, before that, all the talk was how fat America's getting. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to bring that out now and
okay,
kind of a preview to what's coming up later. But that's next week for whoever will be here. And
we'll be here.
This is After Hours. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, Pacifica Radio, yada, yada.
You're Chris Arison.
I'm Chris Arison.
I'm Jimmy Carper.
And if you want to get in touch with us, it's email is afterhours@kpft.org.
And we forgot to talk about Johnny Necessary's.
Yeah, I gotta rescreen that and see what all we can say.
Yeah.
Johnny Necessary. Mm. We're sending that to your warden.
Ouch. Ouch.
If you want to send us a drop us a line by the old fashioned snail mail, it's after hours care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
That's LOVETT. Love TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
That's another group.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not just a zip code,
but it's a life.
Take that, Rainbow.
And don't forget to send us dirty pictures.
And now, from the people who bring you the other stuff. Those are right buttons?
Whatever. Yeah. Just push the damn button.
It's time for the PSAs, and we don't mean the test your doctor takes. This is After Hours.
The Pacifica Foundation is seeking to hire a position based in Washington, D.C. The Network Programming Coordinator works under the supervision of the Executive Director and is responsible for the implementation of Pacifica's national programming policy, as well as the coordination of its national production and distribution resources. Qualified candidates should have a bachelor's degree in mass communication or 4 years of documented equivalent training. To learn how to apply, visit www.kpft.org. Thank you. This is KPFT, Houston.
Six members of the Pacifica National Board have proposed an amendment to the Pacifica bylaws that would expand the allowable number of at-large members elected by the board from 1 to 2, and thus increase the maximum possible size of the board from 23 to 24 members. The amendment would also remove the February 15th annual deadline for the local delegate assemblies to nominate such at-large candidates. This amendment will be voted.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.